If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I hope you've been enjoying the show so far, because I know I have, and some of our listeners have, too.
Tonight, it's survival of the fittest. For the first time anywhere, it's man versus beast. A world-class sprinter, a world record holder, a sumo wrestler, and 44 little people. Versus a 12-foot giraffe, a 600-pound zebra, a superhuman orangutan, a 1,000-pound Kodiak bear, and an 8,800-pound elephant.
What the heck is up with that?
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
I like Bush.
The booty, the booty, least the maid got booty. The booty, the booty, least the maid got booty.
I like Bush.
Lube it or lose it.
And now.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31. What?
I was just watching how close that was.
I was actually in the other room, but I am marveling at the schedule that Lightning gave me. It says it's Thursday, the 29th of February. So
yeah. I wrote back to remind him it was not a leap year this year. So
he would just keep going. If nobody wouldn't point that out to him, it would be like the 32nd and the 33rd and the 34th.
Yeah. It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Wow. Yeah, the date's not important. That's true.
It's actually Thursday, the 1st of March. Pow, pow.
Well done. That feels Thank good.
You. That was well done.
Thank you.
You gave it your all.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
I miss Februaryola, but you know, you got to move on. Time marches on, unless you're Lightning, in which case it's Februaryola forever.
Yeah. You know what happens in the other room is I was here about 2 minutes ago, and I was in the other room, but Lightning doesn't listen to the show. It's not on. So I'm talking to him about the schedule and, you know, whatever else. And I happen to glance up and see, oh, it's about time to start the show. And I come walking in here and you've already started. But he doesn't have it on in there.
Right.
Well, that's helpful.
He's pretty committed to Big Boy, I think. That's one thing you can say about Lightning.
You would think, as the producer of the show, we would be able to say something like right now. We would be able to say, Lightning, why don't you please get us? And he would hear it and perhaps do it. Not at all. Mm-hmm. No, not the case.
Well, he wouldn't still be able to work here after all these years if he also had to listen to the show.
That's true. That is true.
It's asking too much.
That is true. All right.
It's really, it's too difficult.
You can only expect.
For anyone who doesn't have to. Yeah.
Somebody to listen for so long. That's why
I wish I could get out of listening to it. I can't.
At times, I'd check out. I know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah.
5:33. How's everybody doing, Bean? How's it going? Good?
Yeah.
Getting ready to come down here today?
No drama. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yep.
I am going to see my dad this weekend. I'm going to Las Vegas, so I haven't seen him in a few months. I'm looking forward to that.
Bean it's and not Chief. The Las Vegas, though, that we know and
When
love.
Bean and Chief get together, they throw down.
Sure they do.
It is off the chain.
I expect there'll be a buffet. I expect that'll happen.
Yeah, and then you'll sit on his couch and watch CSI or NYCS or whatever it is old people watch.
Yeah, only the shows that old people watch. Yeah. If you've ever asked yourself, who watches that show? It's Bean's dad.
It's always my dad, whatever the show.
I can explain Bean to you in just a couple of words, and that is he's never gambled.
Nope.
And he goes to Vegas all the time to visit his dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ironic.
Yeah, that's odd.
the odds don't seem in your favor in gambling, by the way. I don't know if you guys have thought about that, if you've actually done the math, but if you really add up how much it costs versus what you get in return, it doesn't seem like a good deal.
But that's because you never have fun, see? So there's no payback.
Exactly.
If you're having fun, then you get kind of paid back in that way.
I don't care for fun, but I also don't know, you know, for most people, let's face it, there are, you know, always exceptions. But, you know, for most people, that fun it involves them watching them lose all their money. I mean, that's really what they do. You go in there for an hour or two, whatever it is, and you basically just see how slowly you can lose your, you know, $40 or $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is.
How long can you make your money last is really pretty much the question.
Sure, but depending on how much you bet and stuff, sometimes you walk away and you go, I met some people, I had a great time for 4 hours, and I lost $60. That's not a bad trade-off, actually.
Exactly. But see, you met some people, and you had a good time.
Right.
Bean,
yeah, see, I don't get
neither.
Those, right.
He drives people away, so he'd be sitting at the table by himself.
Sure, of course. Well, that wouldn't be fun at all.
No
it
dealer.
Wouldn't be fun for the dealer. It wouldn't be fun for the whole place.
Then he's not having fun.
You're a cooler.
So. He is. He's a cooler. That's what Bean is.
And the Manilow show is dark this weekend, so I can't even go see that. I was all excited about being in Las Vegas, maybe seeing the Barry show, but that's he's off this weekend.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got that that.
Does he have one of those
Hilton
permanent
gig.
Gigs? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes his $60 million a year playing the Hilton.
You and the blue hairs, the old women, going to see Barry Manilow.
If you're
going to
see Barry, you may as well go see Celine Dion.
Exactly.
Oh, how dare you.
I'm sure she's playing.
Please, you're drawing the line there when you're going to Barry Manilow?
Exactly.
Celine Dion isn't in the same ballpark as Barry Manilow.
She's in the gay ballpark.
They're all in the gay ballpark. They are. They're all playing different positions in the gay ballpark, my friend.
How dare you.
And you're going to see the game. You might as well watch them all.
Oh, that's it. I left Big Boy for this. Oh, no.
Exactly. All right. I just found out I was talking in the other room to our intern, Brow.
Oh, yes.
Who we call because he has one continuous eyebrow. I was talking to him because he's a Kings fan. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the trades that the Kings made and all this kind of stuff and how we were doing the Ducks night tomorrow night. I said, you want to come to the Ducks game tomorrow night? He said, I don't know. I got to do some play-by-play.
What?
And I said, what? He does play-by-play for his college basketball team. I think
No kidding.
I think college. I'm not sure. I didn't even ask. But he does play-by-play. I said, you have to tape it and bring it in. He said, no problem. I have tapes.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't be doing it if he weren't pretty good at it.
Oh, that's not true. I did it when I was in college. I did it, yeah, for our college.
You did it?
I did it for college basketball, which is a great time, especially because colleges, if they're smaller colleges, they'll put you right, there'll be like a little table right in the middle of the crowd, kind of. So people can hear you describing it, and they yell back at you. It's really an amazing thing.
Distracting.
So then I did high school football. It was on a local channel, mm-hmm. and we would do the first half, and then we would take a break, and they would play something else for halftime, and then we would come back and do the second half. And I was just telling him this story. It was we came back for the second half, and there was a wasp in the booth.
Oh.
And so we rolled up papers and we were swinging at the wasp and it got mad, you know, and it started like buzzing all around us and we were yelling and screaming and swinging and jumping and moving and running and getting out and getting back in. I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I don't know. Hit it. No, don't hit it. You're going to make a mess. We were doing that. I don't know how many minutes the second half was going and our mics were on. I'm not sure. But when I looked up, one of the teams already had the ball. It was past the kickoff and they were already moving down the field. And our microphones were on while we were, you know, ducking and jiving.
Fantastic.
Swinging and yelling and cussing and everything else.
I would like to hear that.
I never had a tape of it. I would love to have that as well.
That's funny.
I don't think that's good form. I'm not sure.
You need to revisit your greatest triumph in the booth and sit in with Brow for one of his games. See if you can be a guest announcer, do some color.
I think I need to hear Brow first. So he's going to bring in a tape, so we have that to look forward to next week.
Excellent.
Let's see. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have more tickets for you to go to our Breakfast with Corn. That's going to be Tuesday, so mm-hmm. It's a very small place, but if you can win tickets, you can join us on Tuesday morning. If not, you can listen on Tuesday morning to hear our Breakfast with Corn. And let's see, what else do we have today? We have Bands That Make You Gay. That's coming up. There's a guy named Donnie Davies who is, I can't tell if he's a parody or if he's for real. I can't make up my mind because it's so ridiculously stupid, the stuff he says. There's videos of him on YouTube, if you look up Donnie Davies. And he does a song called God Hates Fags. And it's not the same ugly, stupid group as the ones who hold the signs at people's funerals.
Yeah.
It's not that same group. I think it's a different guy. And he's got his own program called CHOPS. I think it's changing homosexuals into ordinary people or something
like
that.
The whole thing does sound like a spoof.
It does.
And it's a brilliant spoof if it is one.
Totally.
I was thinking the same thing, and I've analyzed this a lot. And I don't think it's a spoof because there's a certain underlying level of comedy there, but the comedy isn't strong enough to outweigh the hideousness of his message with most of the stuff that spoofs
but
like
maybe
that.
He's maybe it's not a bad good.
Spoof. Yeah, maybe he's just a bad spoofer.
You don't think so?
Bad spoofer, by the way, playing Coachella.
Bad spoofer, yeah. He's too... the hatred, the vitriol that he has is too intense for it to be fake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so, too.
But it's funny because he's so gay.
He's way gay. And doesn't like it.
But
and
then that makes you think it's real because
that's where it's all coming
the self-loathing.
From.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're going to, and he's got a list of bands that make you gay on his site. So we're going to take some calls from you, the K-Rock listeners, and find out just exactly what bands you think
Barry
it is.
Manilow.
Makes you gay.
Oh, how dare you.
No, you're way gay before you ever go to Barry Manilow.
He just reinforces the gayness.
Yeah. I see. These are the bands that you weren't gay, but they make you.
Right.
Oh, my God. The power of a band.
You're heterosexual. Then you listen to the band.
Son of a gun.
You change. That's what happens. Also, yesterday, late in the show, we discovered the Kites of Death. And if you missed that, we're going to give you some highlights of that just after 6. The Kites of Death coming up. We have, let's see. We have an author from the New York Times who wrote an article on these magazine sales crews. They knock on your door occasionally and they'll say, I'm trying to earn a trip to, you know, wherever, Cabo, with my school band or whatever. And this guy did a long investigative report and found out that most of it is just total scam and that these people are almost slaves. They take them around and there's, you know, 3 to a cheap hotel room. The poorest selling one has to sleep on the floor and they beat them if they don't sell enough. And they're almost always in the hole. It's a complete scam, the whole thing. And almost most of the time, from what I understand in the article, there's no trip that they're working toward or anything. They're just, it's a scam, and they're just trying to get you to order magazines.
That's unbelievable.
So we're going to talk to him today and talk to people who have done that. So that's coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. Al Gore had a $30,000 electric bill last year. $30,000 electric bill. And that seems funny to us. Because he's the guy who wants to save the world. So we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to give away some more tickets for the Museum of Television and Radio for their TV festival. They're doing a night with The Office, the cast and the creators. And we're going to do a new game called Showdown at the OK Corral. That one made it through.
The funniest
part
is...
Why are you the way that you are?
Yeah, good question.
It took us forever to come up with that. That's the funniest part.
Mike came up with it, at Psycho Mike, and he, as soon as he said it, he put his arms in the air in victory.
Triumph.
So anyway, that's coming up this morning as well on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with your with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
I didn't see it, Ralph, but I heard you talking about that Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader show yesterday. It's been doing some huge ratings on Fox this week. Have you seen that again since that first show?
They could do a half an hour of a close-up on a steaming cup of tea after American Idol, and it would get 31 million viewers.
That's probably true, yeah.
But the truth is, I have seen a couple episodes, and it's wildly entertaining because I related in The Office the other day. It's like playing a really good game of Does Kevin Know? Remember we'd ask Kevin, like, really basic questions? He'd have no idea about anything. They have these people who graduated from, like, UCLA and law school and people who have master's degrees, and they put them up on stage, and they ask them questions that are asked in quizzes of kids from first through fifth grade. And it's amazing what people knew when they were that age, when you're 10 or whatever, and then you just completely forget about it. And they're really simple questions that people just have no idea.
Do the fifth graders always win?
The fifth graders are used not as competition, but you can sort of go to them for help. Remember on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You could call like a lifeline or whatever. That you pick a kid out of the class. There's 5 kids there, and you get to have them as sort of your partner. So if you don't know an answer, you can throw it to the kid.
I see.
You get 3 chances to have them sort of save you, and the money progresses with each question as it goes further and further. You can win up to $1 million.
I got you.
It's really
I would
fun
be
game.
So sunk on math, though. I mean, that's the first thing you forget when you get out of school. You know, you don't use it. I mean, if they asked me math questions, I'd be out.
And it's super easy math stuff that you know you learned when you were in school, like a triangle has a base of 8 and one of the sides is 2. What's the area of the triangle, you know? And there used to, I can't remember what the formula is, but area is like, you know,
pi squared plus 7.
That's it, pi squared plus 7. It's like the base divided by something times something, whatever, but you don't know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How many sides does a trapezoid have?
A million.
I mean, I know you learned those things about the different shapes and stuff, what they were called, but you know,
I'm out. The problem with that stuff is, Beans, right? You never ever use it. I don't even know why you learn it.
But there's some basic stuff too, like what boat did the pilgrims come over from Plymouth,
Mayfair,
England to
Mayflower,
Santa Maria?
I don't know. So you'd be good on that show, Kevin.
Oh, I'd be great on that show.
Be great.
That is interesting. I just figured I was so stunned to hear you mention it yesterday because I figure you have an anti-Jeff Foxworthy filter on your
television.
You know?
He's
how
the
is
host.
He is the host of the show.
I didn't know that.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Is he good?
You ought to be a redneck, whatever that.
You know you're a redneck if you can't answer questions like
this. He's fine. You know, he's very serviceable as the host of that show. But just the premise is very entertaining. So
I got to check that out.
Not bad.
I'm not going to watch it. I don't want to depress myself further. I'm not even going to watch it.
Kevin, I don't know any of these. This game's stupid.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What else is going on?
Speaking of children, just released yesterday was the list of the highest earning stars in Hollywood under the age of 21.
Under the age of 21.
Yeah.
I think of the Harry Potter kid is the first one that comes to mind.
Daniel Radcliffe. pulled down $13 million in 2006. Oh. That's what he made
wow.
last year.
Wow.
He was number two on the list.
See him? Did you guys see him in Extras?
Yeah.
Yes.
He
was
trying to get laid.
So fantastic.
He's carrying around the condom unrolled everywhere. He flips it on Diana Rigg's head. Yeah, it was spectacular.
He's number two.
Number two.
Scary little girl from War of the Worlds and what's her name?
Not in the top three. Not
really?
Dakota Fanning. Lindsay Lohan came in third place.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
She had earnings of almost $10 million for her roles in films. Hmm. But a lot of that goes to rehab, so I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what take-home is on her paycheck.
The Olsen twins used to always be at the top of that list, but they're too old now, if you're talking about kids, right?
They are still under 21.
Oh, are they really?
And they made $40 million last
year.
Oh,
my God.
Doing what? Just through the sales of their clotheslines and accessories and all the tween stuff that they sell, videos and DVDs.
I think a lot of
people... That's all they do. They just collect checks, because if you ever see them, they're just drinking coffee, walking... looking really skinny, and then posing without smiling in front of various events. That's all they do.
A lot of people don't realize the huge fortune those two have built up already. They're hundreds of millions of dollars.
When they were on TV and they were popular, I knew they had all that merchandise and stuff, but who's going out and buying Mary Kay and Ashley lunchboxes today, you know?
$40 million worth of people.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Scarlett Johansson, Saint or sinner, I guess I'd rather say. People Magazine.
Saint.
People Magazine. Well, they've been saying that she's going around, she's making out with everybody, she's partying, she's smoking.
Right.
Well, a story comes out today that she was a no-show at the Oscars, and everybody was wondering why. It turns out she's currently in India on a 10-day tour to raise awareness of global poverty.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Back to Saint.
So... I guess she's not making out with, you know, poverty-stricken Indians.
She's buying herself some more party time.
More party time?
Yeah.
She was visiting the Dalit School in the northern part of the country, which is funded by Oxfam. It's a charity that does good work over there. And apparently she is a spokesperson for them and going around trying to raise awareness for the poverty-stricken areas of India, which is 98% of that country,
yeah.
I think. More news in the Anna Nicole Smith story. Yesterday, a three-day judge panel in Florida refused to overturn the lower court decision about Anna's body and where it should be buried, so apparently it will indeed be shipped to the Bahamas to be buried, they say, possibly as early as today. If not, then certainly by tomorrow.
I'm not going to have anything to bury soon.
Yeah, it's got to be in pieces by now.
Ugh.
Another Florida judge said he had no jurisdiction to decide who the father of Anna's daughter was, so Larry Burkhead... had his hopes dashed in terms of getting a quick decision in that case. Instead, the judge tossed the case back to California, where Burke had originally filed a paternity suit. So that story continues.
They're just going to bury boob implants. That's it. That's all they're going to have.
Small box filled with silicone.
While we're talking about dead celebrities, guys, Anna Nicole Smith was still Playmate of the Year when James Brown died, and he still hasn't been buried.
That's
Let's
true.
Never forget that it's now been officially way over 2 months.
Yeah, he's a Jamesicle. No, he's just in the freezer, just waiting to be put away. John Travolta had something to say about Anna Nicole Smith.
Really?
Yeah. He told reporters this week while promoting his latest movie, Wild Hogs.
Yeah.
No connection to Anna Nicole Smith, by the way.
Oh.
That if Anna had followed Scientology,
right,
she'd still be alive today.
Because they can help with pneumonia.
Well, apparently,
right?
He says it's so sad, but we could have helped her with Narcanon, but we didn't get a chance to. I wish we had. Narcanon, for those of you who don't know, is the drug and detox treatment arm of the Scientology Church.
She could have called Tom Cruise in the middle of the night.
And he could have come over.
That's right.
2 o'clock in the morning,
he
goes over.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be alive, but she'd be broke if she'd been in Scientology by now.
It's true. But she couldn't have money to spend on drugs. See how they cure you?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
They don't have any sort of program for crappy movies?
No.
No.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, they can't sway John Travolta from his choice in scripts.
It's not fixable.
That's too bad.
Even with all the exercise and vitamins in the world, he still would make
wild hogs. Come on.
Where's PETA when you need him? London Sun reports that Baby Shambles singer Pete Doherty, or Doherty, I've heard it both ways, was smoking a joint at the Oxfordshire Wildlife Park with his girlfriend Kate Moss when he decided it would be funny to get the penguins stoned.
Oh.
So he put out the joint and threw it at the penguins, and one of them gulped it down.
Oh, what an ass.
Pete and Kate laughed wildly as the penguins seemed to get very wobbly and started stumbling around his pen.
That's not funny.
It's not funny at all. That's a little funny. I told you last week that Nick Cannon married Victoria's Secret model Salida Ebanks.
Oh, God.
Well, apparently that rumor has been dispelled.
Oh, not true.
Yeah, she stepped up and told TMZ.com they're not married. In fact, the ring that she's currently wearing, she bought for herself while they were in Vegas for the All-Star weekend, for the basketball All-Star weekend. So not the case at all.
Fantastic.
Everybody had that story wrong. I saw it in Us Weekly and People and on the AP. In fact, I got an angry email from Salita Banks' agent.
Oh, is that right?
Last week. Saying, I heard you said Nick Cannon married Salita Ebanks. I'm her agent. I haven't heard anything about that. Can you tell me where you got that story? I get so many angry emails in the course of a week.
You don't give up your sources,
though,
do you,
Ralph? Hard to keep them all straight. I said, I read it someplace.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Look it up. I don't know. Google, good. Mother effer.
Good cover.
You think I am? Harvey Levin? Ashley Simpson's threatening us.
Uh-oh.
Star Magazine reports that she's thinking about quitting her singing career to go into a full-time acting career.
Wow.
Just gets better.
It gets worse. It's from the frying pan of the fire. Apparently, she said that she thinks acting is her true calling, so she might put her singing career on hold for a while.
Wow. How do you put a singing career that's that on track on hold? How do you do that?
It's going to put a lot of track technicians out of work, I'll tell you. Who's going to play her lip sync tracks when she's performing on live television?
I think it would be easier to avoid her her songs than if she was on TV and movies. So I think I'd rather she stuck with music.
I agree. And it's good to see Jeff Goldblum's career is coming back. He's got that new series, Reigns, that's going to be on television soon. And he's picked himself up a stalker. That's how you know your career is back in the pink. You know you're flush again when you get yourself a stalker. Apparently, he just filed a restraining order against a 44-year-old female stalker who Jeff says has visited him over 50 times in the past 3 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
He says he just can't go anywhere without running into this broad. Sometimes she shows up when he's performing in his jazz band, which is called the Mildred Schnitzer Orchestra.
Really?
Yes. Apparently, Jeff ran into this woman when he was teaching at an acting school, and she was a student, and you know how those actors are.
Sure.
Crazy! And finally, disgruntled Michael Jackson fans won a lawsuit against Madison Square Garden this week. New York Daily News says that in 2001, lots of people bought seats at the MSG for Michael's 30th anniversary concert.
Oh, that's right.
Apparently, lots of the seats were obstructed view, and no one told the concert goers.
Excellent.
So you pay $100 a piece for a ticket, and you get up there, and there's a big pole in front of you or something. And there was a woman named Dana Gross, who brought a class action lawsuit against Madison Square Garden and Ticketmaster, and they are giving her $28 off the next ticket to any event she buys at the Madison Square Garden.
Well, that was worth her time.
It sure was. Yeah, we feel bad about it. Here's a coupon for $28 off your next Madison Square Garden event.
So 4 years of being in court, now she can go see a Knicks game cheap.
Yeah.
And she gets a McFlurry.
Anyone who had the same problem at the Michael Jackson concert has 120 days to come forward and claim your coupon as well for your next event. In a related story, concert goers, a Barry Manilow concert, said they're suing as well. They had no idea how gay he was when they went to the concert. No one was warned.
The judge is going to rule that they should have known that.
So. Nothing.
So gay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I got an ass full of birthdays today.
Really?
Yeah, this has been a lean week, but today's paying off. Roger Daltrey, legendary lead singer for the band The Who, 63 years old today. Alan Thick from Growing Pains.
Yep.
60 years old today. Ron Howard, legendary movie director. What a career this guy's had.
No kidding.
Massive star as a kid on The Andy Griffith Show, then a massive star as a teenager into his 20s on Happy Days, then a massively popular movie director. No downside for him.
Then you look at Alan Thick. Compare him.
That's right. Tim Daly, who was on the TV series Wings for many years and was so good in The Sopranos. Remember, he was Christopher's pal from...
That's right.
From Narcanon or whatever group he was in there, who was the screenwriter. He's 51 years old today. Excuse me. George Eads, who plays Nick Stokes on CSI, turns 40 today. Jensen Ackles from Smallville, and most recently you can see him on Supernatural over there on The Qua. He's 29
Nobody
years
calls
old
it the
today.
Qua, Ralph.
All the hipsters do. And lastly, my good buddy, who I know listens to the show from time to time, Mark Paul Gosselaar from, of course, NYPD Blue.
I remember you saying he was going to ruin that show.
Oh, that's madness, Kevin. Who would say that?
You did, I'm pretty sure.
No. I said he was going to ruin Saved by the Bell. I was really upset when he got hired on that show.
Okay.
He was too good for that show.
I gotcha.
Mark Paul celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wait a minute. Did you say it was 6:24?
Yep.
Well, that sounds like vagina time.
Although, really...
Anytime is pajama time on the Kevin and Bean Show, as far as I'm concerned.
I'd like to play. I'd like to play a little of the rehearsal that Lisa has been doing this week for.
Yes, we are talking about the third annual Vagina Day, South Bay Vagina Monologues performance. It's going to be happening this week, and we'll tell you all about it, how you can get your tickets, and find out who benefits from your ticket sale in a moment. But first, you sat in on one of the rehearsals because that's the kind of dedicated broadcaster you are.
I love vaginas. I love women. Women pay me to dominate them, to make them
That's what I'm talking about.
So there you go. That's the kind of thing that you can expect
just
on stage.
A taste.
Just a little taste.
Yes.
So to speak.
It is an all-star cast, including our own Lisa May and Kat Corbett and other, it says here, wonderful actresses. And the event is going to be this weekend, March 3rd and 4th at the Hermosa Beach Playhouse. Lisa, how'd you get involved in this? How did they get a hold of you last year when you did it?
You know, someone who listens to the show emailed me and invited me to be a part of the cast last year.
Because they can tell that you go that way.
Totally. And I did it, and it was such a fun experience, and so I'm back for a second year. I do want to mention too, Friday night,
yeah,
although we haven't said a lot about it, it's a pay what you can performance. You don't buy tickets, you just show up.
Okay.
And if you have $5, you put it in the bowl. If you have 10, you put it in the bowl.
Well, it goes
and
to a good cause.
It totally does. And last year we weren't completely full that night. We were only about half full. So if you can't afford the tickets or you can't go on Saturday or Sunday, come on Friday night.
The regular tickets for the weekend are $250,000.
No, they're not.
$1,000.
They're very reasonable, but you know, people are on a budget. I understand that.
So tell us about the charity then.
So 1736 Family Crisis Center is the charity where all the money goes. And last year we raised about $40,000,
wow,
which is awesome.
Wow. That is
and
great.
We're hoping to beat that this year because we have some sponsors that are really helping us out too. And I've learned a lot about this charity. They've been around for about 30 years and they have some wonderful programs for battered women and runaways and battered women's children. They've really kind of set the bar very high for these kinds of organizations.
It's called the 1736 Family Crisis Center. We have the spokesperson Vitellio Aguilar on the phone. Good morning, Vitellio.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but I am nuts about stuff like this. Why 1736? What's the significance of that number, Vitellio?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I've never heard that question before, but actually it always comes up.
Yeah, sure.
What happened was when the agency started in 1972, they opened up a runaway shelter in the South Bay, and the address was 1736 Monterey Boulevard.
Right.
And so the community started knowing the house as the 1736 Monterey House, which then shortened to 1736 House, which stuck, and now is 1736 Family Crisis Center.
I got you. And,
sure.
And the new place is at 1736 now?
We still have a place there, and then we have various drop-in centers, one in Los Angeles, Torrance, and Long Beach.
And all of them are 1736?
Kevin, you're missing the point. The point is, that's how it got started.
Okay.
All right.
So
you, the deal with your charity, the 1736 Family Crisis Center, is you help out battered women and their kids, and you offer a bunch of other stuff, I guess training, community education, advocacy. You got a crisis hotline. I imagine that's got to be the thing that's the most useful to people is when they just, they're bottomed out, they don't know who to call, they call you.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, on average, it takes a woman who's in a domestic violence relationship 7 incidents for them to actually make a change or seek out help, and that's where we come in. You know, we try to be the one-stop center for victims of domestic violence and families who are in need or have been affected by domestic violence. We provide them with counseling, therapy services, case management services, as well as job development services, everything to get them back on their feet.
That's terrific. But I have to ask you this, since you're an expert in this field, Vitellio, why won't women just listen? I mean, what is up with that?
For God's sakes.
Couldn't they just listen?
I have to tell you, one of the cool things they did. Yeah, I'm just moving right
just
on.
Just move right on.
One of the really cool things they did was, it used to be that when women went to shelters, they couldn't stay there very long.
Right.
But they started a program where they can stay for 2 years, which is often how long it takes you to get back on your feet.
Wow.
So you're really in a position that you can move out and move on with your life. And because they did that, other shelters and organizations started copying what they did.
How do people find the number if they're in trouble?
Well, the 24-hour hotline is available on our website, or it's also available through the National Domestic Violence Hotline. You can actually seek out our services or information at 1736familycrisiscenter.org.
Okay.
That's easy enough.
And aside from events like this that Lisa's participating in for this weekend, where does most of your money come from? How do you guys raise funds to keep going?
Well, actually, that's why we keep doing events like this, because we are trying to continue to receive private funding. As you know, with federal and state, many budgets have been cut, and domestic violence is one of the areas where budgets have been cut.
Right.
So we are trying to do everything we can so we can continue to provide these services without having to charge people and with private funding.
What other funding do you get? It's just private people who you hit up for money, or how does it work?
We're a private nonprofit. We work closely with private funders as well as with state and federal grants and things like that nature.
I got you.
And okay. They try to have events throughout the year where they raise funds.
Sure, yeah. I see on the website, for instance, you got you're auctioning off a meet and greet with Christina Aguilera, for instance. That's one of the other upcoming events that's coming up to raise money. All right, let me give out the information again. If you want to see Lisa and Kat Corbin, the other actresses in the Vagina Monologues, it's this weekend. Lisa mentioned that Friday is to pay what you can at the Hermosa Beach Playhouse. Then you've got Saturday and Sunday also. You can go to VDaySouthBay.org to buy your tickets. Last year was completely sold out. And if you want more information about the 1736 Family Crisis Center, that's the web address, 1736familycrisiscenter.org. Vitaly Aguilar, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the event this weekend and with all the good work that you do down there.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for telling.
6:30 now.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What kind of what does it do?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well, it people sits there right on the river and looks out. That's what it does.
Houses people.
What's it known for?
Well, that's what I meant.
What is it known for?
Not what you said.
What's your city do? Why didn't you ask what's it known for then? I mean, it seems like that. Those are words that all would have come fairly
what
easily to you.
What kind of city is it? You could have asked.
I don't know
the answer to that question.
Well, you're the answer to that. I wouldn't do
what
it, guys.
What goes on in your city? You could have asked. What does your city do?
What does your city do? Well, he understood me, and he was Pakistani.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he understood you.
You know, I'm glad that you've contributed a new moment with Kevin.
Great.
to the long, long history of those, because I feel like we have gotten to the point, and Ralph, help me out with this, that we're starting to take Kevin for granted.
Absolutely.
We don't realize what a broadcasting legend we have in our midst. He's a national treasure, and sometimes I think we all just, hey, all it's right. Just Kevin. You know, we just see him every day. We don't think about that what he's contributed to the industry.
Brilliance. Yeah.
Yeah. It must have been like the rest of the Beatles working with John Lennon, where they, you know, everyone on the outside said, this guy is a musical genius for the ages. And everyone's like, no, it's just John. It's just our pal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And sometimes you have to sit back and say, it's amazing the body of work Kevin has amassed over the years.
Well, what did your city do? That was yesterday. But, I mean, it was less than a week ago that we had Rashida Jones on from The Office. And, you know, a lot of people think Kevin peaked, you know, back in the late 90s. I'm telling you, Kevin's doing the finest work of his career now. I'm saying he's as strong today. He's like an athlete who has just hit his stride late in life, and he just astounds everybody. Let's roll the tape from The Office, Chick.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's like word jumble.
It is a code.
I have a strange prism that all my thoughts go through, and then it just scatters the words every which direction. I don't know why.
See, I don't think you could have even pulled that one off when you were younger. I think, honestly, you needed the experience and the maturity that you have today to be able to make magic like that.
Yeah.
How about...
We don't need to keep going with this.
Well, I'm just saying,
it's stunning the amount of work that you've created in the past past few years.
What about, Mike, see if you can find the one where we had that guy on who had like 12 kids or something like that. And Kevin was Kevin had some interesting observations about what the sleeping arrangements must be like in that home.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come pretty here a couple years. I think the banjo music in the background made Kevin think he was from the Ozarks.
I would like to think that's true.
What do you think happened there, Kevin?
I'm telling you, I have a prism. There's some kind of weird thing that goes on where I know what I want to ask, and yet the words somehow get all jumbled up. I don't know.
It's such a short distance from your brain to your mouth, though. You wouldn't think that there'd be that much
chance
for confusion.
But I've got a big head.
That's true.
It's a little more distance.
It does rattle around in there.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate, Kevin, helping us out with.
Don't we have something else to do?
This is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate this.
Enjoy this. It's your moment.
Kevin is in show business, and he thinks of things the rest of us don't, because, you know, we'll see the Blue Man Group, for instance, up in Las Vegas, and we'll think, hey, that's the Blue Man Group. But Kevin is the guy who's willing to ask the tough questions.
Right. And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't have an answer for what happened there. There's no word jumble or anything there.
It's right just, in the name.
It is in the name, yeah. Blue. And there's only one color in the name. Only one.
Blue Man Group. They're a group of blue men.
Yes.
And yet you insist that they paint their face red. Why would I say red?
I don't know. I can't imagine. What about when we take Kevin out on the road?
What about when Kevin's in front of people?
Here's the mark of a true champion. Sure, you can win at home. Sure, on your home field advantage, you can rack up the big yards. But winning away, that's the key when you're on the road.
And I got to tell you that there are college students over there at USC who are still talking about the day Kevin came to town.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is the eighth day, which means the theme is eight milds making. I'm sorry, eight maids a milking. This is the eighth day. It means today's theme is eight milds a.
Damn it! I got to stop drinking.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That was actually at UCLA. It was the UCLA USC thing, and
there we go. Okay,
they were serving me skillets, which is a skillet with
a frying pan full of liquor.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier it's your pal Mark Paul Gosselaar's birthday today.
Okay, seriously.
Yeah. And if I recall, Kevin did a very touching tribute to Mark Paul some years back.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, my Lord.
That was a full-blown stroke.
It was.
That was an embolism.
You would think after the first one happened, I would let someone else speak, but I jumped right back in.
Back off, man. I don't have it today.
All right. It's 6:44.
Hold on.
We're going to take a quick break.
I personally love the way that you make your own expressions.
What are you talking about?
You know, we have certain expressions that we use. It's the cherry on top of the cake or whatever, that kind of thing. And you are so creative that way. You take your own way with those words.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
It's hard to do.
We're watched. Go, really?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right.
Now, I have a request. Ralph Garman, obviously, is our expert when it comes to showbiz stories.
Well, thank you.
But every once in a while, Kevin will throw a little spice on top of a showbiz story. Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise proposed to Katie Holmes at the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, sure.
Kevin crystallized that perfectly, I thought.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You gotta wonder if there were no cameras, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel of the tower to get you know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right.
He had Eiffel and tower, but he just couldn't put them next to each other. And that's
Access Hollywood is still calling to try to get him. All right, one more.
We're gonna be
at the Honda Center tomorrow night for the night at the Ducks, right? It's gonna be night with the Anaheim Ducks. You're giving away some tickets later on. Is there anyone who comes to mind quicker when you hear Anaheim Ducks than our man Kevin? I mean, seriously.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I am retarded.
Hey, everybody. What's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of tickets, for those people who have been emailing me and clamoring since they heard about the Museum of Television Radio's TV festival, we'll be giving away tickets to the Evening with the Office later on today as well, so stick around for that. A lot of people saying, I just heard about this, and how do I get it? They're already sold out, and blah, blah, blah. So we got two pairs of tickets we'll be giving away later in today's show.
That's what she said.
I want to thank the listener who sent me the link for theshiznit.co.uk.
What's that?
The Shiznit is a British website dedicated to movies, because, as it says at the top of their welcoming page, because movies kick ass.
Sure.
It's all about movies, and they've got a new article there just posted this week of the top manliest movies of all time.
Manliest movies?
These are movies that are just swimming in testosterone. These are guy movies to the nth degree. You're right there. Gene Simmons almost gagged on a peanut, I think.
Peanut?
Here we go. Top 10 manliest movies of all time, right? Rocky IV, number 10. These aren't good movies, by the way. These aren't the best movies. These are the manliest movies.
Okay.
It says...
which one was four?
He was the one where he battled Drago, the Russian.
All right.
Or as they say here, an oiled commie Terminator. By the final fight, both men are almost swimming in testosterone. Stallone almost topples communism single-handedly here.
Was that I Must Break You?
That's that one.
Okay.
Number 9, Under Siege, Steven Seagal.
Please.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love that. Hard Boiled, the John Woo film, is number 8. If you've ever seen it, you know it is just filled with blood, testosterone, and adrenaline.
I don't think I know that one.
Wall Street, number 7. Oliver Stone's homage to greed with Gordon Gekko, Michael Douglas's character, saying greed works, greed is good. The Godfather is number 6 on the list. Of course, every guy has seen The Godfather and quotes from it liberally. Number 5, the top 5 manliest movies, Commando with Schwarzenegger. At the time of its release, it contained the highest on-screen body count of any film ever made.
Woo!
You gotta love that. Plus, his name's John Matrix in the movie. Yeah. That's the character's name. Number 4, Goldfinger. Still to this day, greatest Bond movie ever made. James Bond gets his nuts threatened with a laser.
Ouch.
And... bangs a lesbian named Pussy Galore, who he swings over to her side, to his side. Gotta love that. Number 3,
that's good.
Jaws. 3 men have to stop a shark. The only thing they have is a wooden boat and balls of steel. Number 2, Predator. A film so manly, it's been reported that women who watch it have seen their breasts shrink and their vaginas close up as a result.
Oh, my God.
Gotta love that. And number 1, Fight Club.
Fight Club?
Fight Club. Everything a man can want in a movie. It's paranoid, it's violent, full of anarchy. It's hip. So, number 1, most manliest movie of all time, Fight Club.
Number 1!
A little late there.
It's pretty good.
Sorry.
It's pretty good.
What about Say Hello to My Little Friend? What about that movie?
Scarface?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in the top 20, I'm sure, but it's not in the top 10. Rocky IV, dude, it's all manly.
All right.
He's training. He's walking up a mountain in the snow.
I know, I saw it.
Chopping wood. You don't know.
I know.
You don't know, man. John Travolta said Anna Nicole Smith could have been saved by Scientology.
Yes.
I know.
He was doing some publicity for his latest movie, Wild Hogs, and said, it's so sad. We could have helped her with Narcanon, but we didn't get a chance to. I wish we had.
Yeah.
If she had followed Scientology, Kevin, she'd be alive today.
She could have called Tom Cruise middle of the night, any night.
Britney Spears, of course, still in rehab.
Same thing, call Tom Cruise.
It's never too early to make money off somebody else's misery, right? Apparently in the UK, they're releasing the Rehab Britney doll for sale.
Oh, no.
What?
The Britney Spears toy doll comes packaged in pink with news clips of her recent head shaving. The doll itself, of course, is bald, barefoot, and is wearing a straitjacket.
Oh, very nice.
At press time, the doll's going for $82 on eBay currently, so get your bids in early, kids.
Sweet. I just love funny people. Funny people are great.
Yep.
You know, and... so hilarious.
Right. Yeah,
that too.
Funny people are hilarious. And Paris Hilton threatening us once again with her music career,
now
in
what?
Quotes. Grammy winner John Legend admits he bought Stars Are Blind, the Paris Hilton single.
Really?
Kidding?
And liked it so much he wants to record a duet with her. He tells Star Magazine it was a good song and it should have done better than it did. And working with her would be an interesting experience.
He wants to nail her.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here.
Come on. Everyone else has had sex with a why can't I, basically. That's the translation.
No musical respect there.
I get the feeling that John Legend's duet with Paris Hilton will be filmed in night scope vision.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we'll be seeing released sometime soon.
That's the way
soon.
She performs best.
He's going to give her a release.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Not an
answer.
I don't understand.
Why am I talking like this?
That's hot.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jensen Ackles.
Oh, good old Jensen Ackles.
You know him. He played Jason Teague on Smallville. Currently, he's over there on Supernatural in the Qua.
It's not the Qua.
He's 29 years old today. George Eads plays Nick Stokes on CSI. He's 40 years old today. Tim Daly, who was so good on Sopranos last season, playing Christopher's screenwriter fellow addict. He is 51 years old today. Catherine Bach, the original Daisy Duke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She made the Daisy Duke shorts famous.
Don't act like you're excited about that. It's a chick.
Oh, sorry.
53 years old today. Ron Howard, also 53 years old today. Alan Thicke.
Oh, yeah.
Who's everybody's dad on Growing Pains. Jason Seaver. He's 60 years old today. Roger Daltrey, legendary lead singer for The Who, turned 63. And my pal Mark Paul Gosselaar, who, of course, made his bones playing Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell, but then later moved on to NYPD Blue. Co-starred with me for many seasons on that TV show.
He didn't co-star with you. You were on it occasionally.
We were co-stars.
You weren't a co-star.
And he's got a new series coming out on CBS as well from the guy who created Numbers. It's going to be a new series with Mark Paul. And I remember once Kevin was talking
already
to Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Already did that one.
And he had a message for Stephen Bochco because over there on FX, I think, was canceled.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Bochco, tell him that we're so up over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh my God.
Yeah, little birthday present for Mark Paul.
I think I need a helmet.
Hey, Kevin, if the season ended today, you'd be a fag.
Oh, come on. That's a little harsh. Mark Paul's 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Korn has that Unplugged special coming up on MTV, and that's the kind of band, because of the hard nature of the music they do, that you love to see playing acoustic. It's so much fun to see the way they arrange the songs, what they do. So we thought, why not do a Breakfast with Korn? Why not get them to come in and play acoustic for just a few K-Rock listeners that are Korn fans? And that's what we're doing. Next Tuesday morning, right here on the Kevin Amin Show, it's Breakfast with Korn at a super secret location. We have more tickets to give away to you right now.
Now, yesterday we found a string quartet that does Korn songs. This is mainly violins, maybe a cello, a fiddle. I don't know. They're stringed instruments. And they're playing Korn songs. It's the strangest thing you've ever heard. So you might know a Korn song, but can you identify the string Korn-tet?
Good day to you all. As you may or may not know, Kevin and Bean will break fast with Korn next Tuesday. Should you like to attend, you need only to identify these Korn songs as done in the classical vein. Kevin and Bean now present String Quartet.
Very nice. Thank you.
Right?
They got to be big at weddings, I would imagine. This is something for everybody, you know? You got a string quartet for grandma, but you're also playing Korn songs for the kids getting married, right? All right, so let's make Josh in Riverside the guinea pig here. Josh, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to play a piece of music for you. It is going to be a Korn song done by a string quartet. All you have to do is come up with the title. You think you got that?
All right.
Good luck. Listen
up. Here's your Korn song. Tell us what the string quartet is playing. You got it?
What do you think there, Josh?
Wow. Anyway, can you hear it again?
Nope.
No, but my advice to you would be to go ahead and take a guess. Name a Korn song.
Just any Korn song would be.
Because you won't win at all if you don't even guess.
I'm sorry, that's not correct. Thank you, though. It was Falling Away from Me.
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of pretty.
No, it's a horrible version of that song.
I liked it.
This is one of those bands where they should not allow the string quartet to do it. Sean in Los Angeles, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Did you know that last one, the string quartet?
Yeah, it was Falling Away from Me.
Okay. All right.
Well, we all know it after we've said the answer, but let's see how you do on this one, Mr. Big Stuff.
That's probably the easiest one. I hope you knew that.
Freak on a Leash.
Yes. Nicely done. Have you heard a worse version of Freak on a Leash ever?
I actually like it.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
Well, listen, you are going to be joining us Tuesday morning at Breakfast with Korn for a super secret location. I'm glad you're a fan, so we'll see you then. All right, man?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Wow. Didn't expect that coming out of Shaw, did you?
late inning burst of enthusiasm. Andrew in Burbank. Good morning.
Morning, guys. What's going on?
Are you ready for your string quartet?
I'm ready.
There you go.
Okay.
do they do?
Got someone playing the spoons, I guess. Andrew, name the song.
I have. Oh my God.
That was a Korn song.
Pretty, got the life.
Pretty big one.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Did you just guess that out of the blue?
Nice.
That means yes.
All right. Andrew's in. Sean's in. That's two. We got one pair of tickets left for Breakfast with Korn's super secret location, String Quartet. We go to our first lady on the line, Rita from Torrance. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning.
Have you known any of the other ones so far?
I didn't know the first one, but I knew the other one.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, good luck to you.
Here's your String Quartet. To say at this moment that String Quartet's blow.
It does sound like we're watching Gangs of New York for some reason. I don't know what's going on there. Rita, what's the Korn song they're covering there?
Is it Shoots and Ladders?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Well done.
Nicely
well
done.
Well done.
Look at
beautiful.
That. We already have three winners that are going to join us on Tuesday morning. If you can't join us on Tuesday morning, make sure and listen Tuesday morning as we have our breakfast with Korn.
Lisa, I don't know what's happening to our boy Kevin, but I get concerned when he comes in and says these words. Yeah, so I'm reading in the New York Times this weekend. What's going on with you, Kevin? How did this happen?
Someone was reading to you.
Yeah, I have a program where somebody comes into the home and reads to me from the New York Times. No, this is a friend that tipped me off to this, but I don't know how you guys handle this, but when people come to your door and they knock on it and they say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm trying to sell magazine subscriptions so I can earn a trip to Disney World or, you know, wherever they say that they're going. Do you feel bad? Because I always have. And I always thought, well, I should probably buy a magazine, even though I don't need it. Just tell me one, and I'll, you know, I feel like I should help out.
I have fired a shot at them by the time I get to the front door, so I never actually have to have that conversation. But I did find the article that you're talking about, and it turns out there's an awful lot more going on behind the scenes with some of these young men and women that come to your door selling magazine subscriptions than you ever could have possibly imagined. And there was a great story in the New York Times Magazine this past weekend. We've got the author of that story on the line with us right now, Ian Urbino. Welcome to the Kevin Urbino Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, we're fine. I got to be honest. I don't know what why you did this story. What brought this to your attention? But it's the type of thing I never would have thought about digging any deeper on. What brought this problem to your attention, Ian?
A kid came to my door about a year ago and was sort of selling magazines, and he seemed pretty scared, and he looked like he was from out of town, and so I just had him sit down for a second and tell me about the line of work. And
come in and sit down, young man. Probably scared him to death. So you started looking into it, and I didn't know that this business even existed. I figured it was just, you know,
local kids, right?
From the high school, trying to raise money, whatever, for their band or whatever. They always have a story to tell. And tell us about the whole industry, taking kids that are 18 to 21, 22, 23 years old, and just vanning them around the country.
Yeah, I mean, apparently it's an industry that's been around for a long time. And as you say, I mean, they recruit kids usually with ads in newspapers, you know, promising fun in the sun and travel with other young kids and lots of money to be earned. And their crews usually of maybe 20, 30 kids. And essentially they sign the kids up to come on the road with them. And these little crews travel state to state, usually, you know, switching state each week or each 2 weeks, and work 10-hour days or longer sometimes, shorter other times.
But at least they make a lot of money.
Well, I mean, that's just it. You would think they might, and that's what the promise is. But the large majority of the kids I talk to make nothing at all. The money is kept on the books, so to speak, which means their earnings are kept by their managers, ostensibly to cover expenses.
So they have to pay for their own travel, their own hotel, their own food, and then they can maybe start making money?
That's right. I mean, off the books come the deductions, which are all their expenses. And at the end of the month, they realize that what they're ending up with is a lot less than they thought. Sure.
We're going to take calls from people here in Southern California who have done this, who have sold these magazines door-to-door at 1-800-520-1067. But tell us about the sleeping arrangements and the motivation that is given to them by the managers.
Yeah, I mean, typically the kids stay in rooms with three to a room. Often I heard that the lowest seller of the day gets the floor and the other two get the beds. Usually they're single-gender rooms, and the motivation ranges. I mean, there's a bit of a cultish sort of element to it. You're not allowed to talk negative on crew, and there are pep rallies in the morning and sort of boot camp sessions in the evening. But there are also more other types of encouragement. A lot of crews talked about extreme violence on crew, and
Getting actually beaten physically for not selling enough,
right?
Or for saying something negative or whatever.
Yeah,
this is
a lot of kids who had been beaten up pretty bad while on crew.
Ian Urbina is the voice you hear. He is a reporter for the New York Times. We're talking about these magazine crews that go around the country. And it sounds like the way you've described it is very similar to what you hear about girls come over from, you know, South America or China, and they find themselves in a prostitution ring that they're supposed to pay a certain amount to get out of, and they never can. They never can recoup their initial expense. It sounds like the same sort of thing that they're doing to these mag kids.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of indentured servitude in it that I heard about. There's also, though, sort of a partying element that is a key. You know, after the day is over, there's a huge amount of drug use and sex on crew. And that's another thing that keeps folks sort of looped in, because for all the bad that's happening, there's also this sort of debaucherous late hours of the night that, you know, washes them for the next day, and they started all anew.
You told a story in your article about a girl who was raped, and the manager put her right back to work. She said, "I know it sounds crazy, but I believe my manager when he said he would never let it happen again, and I believe him when he said my mom had told him she didn't care about me." So she just went back to selling magazines.
And I guess they end up thousands of miles from home sometimes with no money, and so getting away, I mean, how do you get home? That's got to be really difficult for them.
Yeah, I mean, two things. I mean, one, you touch on. One, a lot of these kids are coming from pretty screwed up places and really troubled backgrounds, and so they're running from one bad situation into a worse one.
Right.
So it makes it harder for them to leave. And the other, as you say, you know, they're real far from home. They got $20 in their pocket, and options are pretty limited.
And what they do, sure. they sometimes just drop them off. They just say, "Here's the bus station. Good luck."
Yeah, for the ones that they really are angry at, they'll abandon them at a bus station. Maybe they'll give them a ticket, maybe they won't.
Do you have an idea how many, are there any of these people that are actually legitimate, or is it all a scam? I mean, are there some people that are going door-to-door selling magazines that are on the up-and-up?
I think there are, yeah. I mean, I think there are some legitimate crews that, you know, really screen and really prevent the drugs and the violence on crew, and the subscriptions actually come through.
But are they all crews? They're not the local school trying to raise money for whatever, for the most part?
Yeah, totally different industry. You know, the local schools, if they're legit, then they're not traveling with the kids. They're
right.
They're from right in that community. This industry is all about travel. They go state to state each week, and they may. You know, spin you at the door and say, "Oh, I just live around the corner." But the industry that we reported on was the actual traveling crews, not the, you know, I'm selling candy for my basketball team,
right,
and I go to this school.
Ian, I was a little bit surprised that it's still as widespread as it is. I mean, these days with the internet, it seems like anyone who wants to subscribe a magazine can do it without getting up off the couch. I mean, I'm surprised that they even go door to door anymore.
I mean, you know, print is having a hard time getting subscriptions because of the internet, and so publishers are eager to sign more people up any way they can, and thus you have, it's still a small, you know, 1-3% of all subscriptions are landed this way, but when you're talking about a, you know, multi-billion dollar industry, that's a
lot of people.
Profit.
Yeah. Sure. All right, last question for me, Ian, and that is, what would your advice be to somebody who gets a knock on his door later today and there's a 20-year-old standing out there trying to sell magazines? Are we helping by buying a magazine, or should we not?
It's tough. I mean, I don't have advice. The advice I got from one of the main advocates is avoid buying them, offer the kids a phone number for that advocacy group so that they could, and a phone for them to use right then to call home, and because they'll be away from their managers at that point, and offer them the opportunity to call home and to talk with their parents about possibly leaving Crew. That's the advice they gave me, and that I sort of reported on the story.
I got okay. You. Yeah, that's it's fascinating. Like I said, when we brought you on, Ian, it's the type of thing I never even would have thought about, and I'm glad you dug a little bit deeper. And it's an interesting article, and you can, of course, see it in this past weekend's New York Times Magazine or look for it online on the New York Times site. But Girl Scouts, they're Satanists, right? I mean, we all know that, right, Ian?
Or is that? I don't know that.
That's next
year's
story.
You haven't done that story yet. All right. Ian Urbina, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. We got a whole rack of calls. People on hold that have done this.
Fascinating
They
stuff.
Went into these magazine crews, and we'll talk to them when we get back on K-Rock.
We just had a New York Times reporter on that was blowing the lid off of these magazine subscription guys and gals that come to your door.
Did he literally blow the lid off?
I don't know if literally he did, but I will tell you, it's the first time I've ever given any thought to what goes on behind those people. I thought, like you did, it was just some kid trying to raise money to go to Disney World. But apparently, it's some sort of a cult that you get into and you can't get out. So we're going to take just a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our pal Tina, who is down in Corona, who it sounds like had a bad time selling magazines. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
You are one of these, you are in one of these cults, these magazine crews?
Yes, I was in it back in the late 80s. It was I stayed in it for about a month. The only way you can escape is by escaping and going to the authorities to have them get you out. They had me on, I contacted my mom, and they put me on a wanted list because I was missing, and they wouldn't let me go, and they had to get the police to come and get me out of there.
Wow. Tina, let me ask you this, because we didn't have much time to get into it with the reporter, but what's attractive to you is you're 18 years old or something like that, and you get the chance to travel, and it sounds like it's going to be fun when you sign up for it. You hang out with people your own age, you get to see the country, you get to work during the day and party at night. I mean, that's why you do it, right?
Well, yeah, that's why you initially want to do it, but you only get $15 to eat on a day, and that's it. So how are you supposed to have any fun when you're traveling?
Because you got no money, right, exactly. And then what happens? I mean, do they discourage you from quitting? I mean, because they make it sound like in the article, the people who run the cruise say that you can leave at any time that you want. Is that, that was not your experience?
No, you can't leave at any time. You're always surrounded by people in the cruise. They won't let you leave.
So it is cult-like.
Did anyone get arrested when the police came in and got you out?
No, because there's nothing that they can't prove anything.
But why couldn't you testify against them?
Because they move so fast. They're only in a town for about 2 weeks. They stay in a hotel and they move. They're constantly on the go. You know what I mean? They never stay anywhere very long. It's like they take you into different cities. You go in and you hit that little city for like a minute, and then you're gone.
I got you.
It's something because this article that goes into a great deal of detail about it talks about how the people who are running it, you know, change post office boxes all the time. They don't have an office that you can go to. I mean, they really are on the down low. Thank you for the call, Tina. We appreciate it.
Somehow they also skip federal oversight and state oversight. It's unregulated a lot of the time, so nobody knows what to do with them. Let's go to Kathy in Long Beach. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, with the magazine crews, my brother got into it in the late 80s, and he's pretty much still in it.
Still in it?
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, he thrives in a dishonest environment. He's moved up. He went from selling the magazines to van driver to manager, and I've seen the conditions. They purposely pick kids that look like they might be troubled or have no family. They never give them enough money to leave, just like the previous caller said.
Right.
And it's just, it's bad news. And there's drug use, and there's a lot of threats.
Where do they get the drugs from if they only get $15 a day?
The crew, the managers, it's provided.
Yeah, I'm sure it's incentive to keep them in there.
Yeah.
Just enough to keep them in there.
Well, right. Then I'm in. I mean, that's bad.
Let me ask you the question I asked the reporter a few minutes ago. What's your advice to me if somebody comes up to the door today to sell a magazine? Am I doing them a favor by buying it? Am I making it easier for them, or am I making it harder for them?
Absolutely not. I would also suggest to be nice, but at the same time don't buy anything because my brother did get out, and he tried to, you know, go the straight and narrow or whatever. And he did tell me that kids, you know, they're the kids, depending on the group of kids you have, the van, you know, the crew, they may case your house. They're out there stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
They're so deprived. You open your door and they see you have an iPod, or we'll go back to that house later.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, wow. How about that?
There's Yeah, and back to the regulations, the lady, the magazine company that he's worked with for like the last 20 years, it's so unregulated, and the lure is they see the cars, the managers have the big home, you know, and everyone.
Right.
And she's been booted from the state of Illinois. She had to pick up and move to Arizona, and like the previous caller said, they're like, they have the crews moving so fast, you can't catch up. And there's really no way to get out because they never give you enough money to leave.
So it's not a good deal as advertised. By the way, Lightning tells us that they run ads in the OC Weekly occasionally.
Wow.
Looking for kids, you know. Hey, you're young, you want to travel, you want to make a lot of money.
Right.
Doesn't really work.
Sure. Mike emails, hey, Kevin and Bean, I sold magazines when I was 18 back in Iowa. I had to spend the night in jail once for soliciting without a permit. I got busted because some person in Indiana went into a complex that said no soliciting, and the old ladies called the cops on us.
Yep. In that article, they said that this one kid was wanted in 5 states for selling magazines illegally because he didn't have the right, you know, whatever.
He didn't have permits or whatever.
Stephanie and Covina, good morning.
Good morning.
So you were doing this. You were on a magazine crew.
Yes, I was.
And?
It was the most horrible experience of my entire life.
How did they strand you?
First of all, they make all these promises when you first go in that, you know, they'll, if you, things don't work out, they'll make sure you get a bus ticket to go home. And
right. And that's not true?
They're all lies. They're lies. They were saying $15 a day. I got $20 a day, but that's not much more.
Right.
The way they reel you in is they tell you, you know, of course you'll be making commission on all these
sales, right?
Yeah, on all the sales. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, what they don't tell you is that you're paying for your own motel room. The money that they're giving you that you're making through your sales all goes towards your rooms.
Right, so it kind of counts against you. You have to make up for that. What? Tell us about getting stranded. We're kind of running out of time, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we went out to Victorville, and I got an upper respiratory infection. I told them that I didn't think I could work that day because I was super sick, and they told me I either work or I go home, and they weren't buying my ticket. So I had to call a friend to come out 3 hours away from where I live, which isn't far, but it's still far to walk, and she had to rush me to a hospital.
Nice.
Wow. So, you were lucky you were close to home.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. Because we were out in Mexico a week before that.
Would you suggest for people who are 18, 19, 20 and have a bad home situation, this is a good thing to do or bad?
Bad.
Okay.
Very, very bad.
Okay. Now we got on it. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Bye now. I'm going to slap the next person that comes to the door. I'm just going to, how dare you?
Why is there so much hate?
I'm pretty sure we need a vacation.
We need someone to raise the dead is what we need. We need someone who knows some voodoo to put a spell on Bean and get his corpse up and walking.
We don't have time for this right now.
I don't have time for anything because you guys run late every hour and I got 60 seconds to do a freaking show business.
At least you're not complaining about that.
Why don't you talk to your little friends in My Chemical Romance and making shorter songs? You ever think about that?
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem, exactly.
Songs, you have no idea how long they're going to be. You have no way of judging how long a song's going to get. You're right. It surprises you. Sometimes it's 2 minutes, sometimes it's 5. You don't know.
Thank you, Ralph. That's exactly what I'm saying. All right. Let's see what's going on in Hollywood, as if Ralph cares at this point.
Big Pussy's a big pussy.
No kidding,
what's
by the
up
way.
With this?
He's quitting Dancing with the Stars after a week of training. He's already out.
Why?
Well, he's in terrible shape, probably.
Well, how good a shape do you have to be in to dance?
Well, according to Big Pussy, lots.
Have you seen the show, Kevin?
No.
It would kill you.
Stop.
15 minutes of that show would kill you if you had to do it.
It's not important if Kevin saw it or not. It's important if Big Pussy saw it or not.
Yes, exactly.
He signed up to do it.
That's true.
Maybe he should have looked into things a little bit before he just said, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. I'll dance. Apparently, Vincent Pastore, the 60-year-old star of The Sopranos, says, when I initially committed to joining Dancing with the Stars, I didn't realize just how physically demanding it would be for me. Really? There's people throwing people around. They're doing somersaults and jumping up and down. Watch an episode or two. Have your people look into it.
He was on Celebrity Fit Club. Where did he drop out? Did he do okay?
No, but
do you remember,
he
Mike?
He was not very helpful. I mean,
he ended up pretty large pussy.
He was one of the most uncooperative people ever.
Yeah.
And then didn't he recently have some sort of heart surgery?
He did.
He had bypass.
Yeah.
Maybe Dancing with the Stars isn't the show for you, pussy. Maybe you should do more just leaning with the stars.
Sitting. Heather Mills has that covered.
Hey, what the?
Hey, oh.
I was unable to put forth my best effort, and I felt appropriate to step aside and give someone else the opportunity.
Oh, please.
Yeah, he's...
He thought he was going to die.
He wants to make room for Barack Obama to make his run at the Dancing with the Stars championship. He should be whacked, this guy.
I don't know that you want to get into that.
He killed Vito for just, you know, enjoying a few guys. That was but just, pussy lives. I don't like it.
That was just The Sopranos TV show.
22, back of the head, bum. What I'm saying.
TV show.
He's a fag.
Yeah.
Totally.
Troubled actor Isaiah Washington has hired a new PR man to try to rebuild his reputation after the infamous controversy where he accused one of his co-workers of being gay and then used the F word that you use to call a gay guy that thing.
It was his publicist's fault?
No.
Oh.
But apparently he's got a new one to try to rehab his image.
Okay.
And here's the thing. The guy he hired, Howard Bragman, is a legendary PR guy in the entertainment community. He has a huge, huge PR agency that he recently sold, and now he has started up a new one. Openly gay, this guy.
No kidding. That's part. Is that part of the campaign to show that he's learned his lesson?
I think it couldn't have hurt for Isaiah to hire an openly gay man to be his new PR representative.
No way to see through that one.
Nope. In fact, Isaiah was surprised. What? You're gay?
Is that Isaiah?
That's Isaiah Washington. Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
What?
What'd you say?
Something like the Tuskegee Airmen.
Hello. That's from my one-man show. Gay? That's from my one-man show, the Tuskegee Airmen. Supermodel Christie Brinkley in the hospital. She had to undergo emergency operation on her back on Tuesday night for an injury she incurred during a recent ski trip. Yeah, that's what it was. It wasn't.
Who's the uptown girl?
I was skiing. She's fine now. She feels a million times better. She said she's doing great. So, no worries. Supermodel will live. That's all that matters.
Excellent.
But at 53, you know, she's kind of outlived her supermodel usefulness. You know what I'm saying?
Put her down?
Put her down.
Oh, come on.
It's more humane. It's more humane, Lisa. You know how they suffer in the last years of their lives.
This is the last year of her life.
Well, you know, as they get older.
Dysplasia.
It's not good. It's not good. What time is it?
8:05.
I don't know, but I saw a picture of Christie Brinkley with one of those giant cones on her head the other day. I felt terrible for her.
Rip her stitches right out. Absolutely.
Yeah. You want to lick herself.
Be careful. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jensen Ackles. Best name in show business.
Yes, it is.
Let's see. Jensen Ackles. Yes, I'm going with
that's
that.
It.
That's
like
going to be my stage name. He, of course, was Jason Teague on Smallville. Now you can see him on Supernatural over there on the CW. He's 29 years old today. George Eads from CSI turns 40 today. Ron Howard, legendary film director, is 53. Roger Daltrey, legendary lead singer for The Who, is 63. Alan Thicke, legendary Jason Seaver on Growing Pains, is 60 years old today. And my old co-star from NYPD Blue, Mark Paul Gosselaar, celebrates his 33rd birthday today. He and his wife have a new baby, and I just want to wish him well and say happy birthday, Mark Paul. My old co-star. I remember those days on
sort
the set.
Of. I mean, you were there a couple times. A
couple times.
I wouldn't say I was a co-star.
I was backup for Detective John Clark and his partner, Sipowicz. I was right there with him. It was like the three of us. Yeah. We were the big three.
Sure.
In my mind. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, may I ask you a question, please?
Yes.
Are you struggling with undesired same-sex attractions?
No.
Maybe you've been a homosexual for a long time and you're now searching for a way out. Well, you've come to the right place. Love God's Way is offering hope and help to people seeking freedom from being gay. Kevin, we believe and we have seen in thousands of lives that this freedom is possible through the power of our CHOPS program working in our hearts and minds.
CHOPS
is a powerful new program developed by Christian youth expert Donnie Davis. CHOPS stands for Changing Homosexuals into Ordinary People.
Ordinary people.
Where's the I in into and what's the S stand for?
If you have had feelings that you do not want to have toward people of the same sex, then this program is for you. And if you've been acting on those same feelings, then this is definitely the program you've been looking for. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the new YouTube sensation, Donnie Davis. He's the head of CHOPS, and Kevin, you've fallen very deeply in love with him, haven't you, ironically?
Well, he's the gayest man ever, first of all.
His name is Donnie. Wouldn't you change it to Don?
Donnie yes. Davies. Yeah, he's the gayest man ever, and he sings a song about God's feeling about gays, and it's extremely stupid. And even in this part that you're about to hear of his song, he clearly feels these feelings and doesn't want to. That's the situation with
this
guy.
He's in denial about him.
He's Reverend Ted Haggard, is
yes.
what he is.
So here's a little bit of his song.
God, you are my strength. Fill me with your love. Help me fight these feelings.
and help me rise above. Lord, help them hear me and make clear my voice. 'Cause being gay is nothing but a choice. God hates a bad.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
This guy is on his knees praying every day that God take that away.
Yes, he is.
Oh, it's but so sad.
You guys think he's kidding, though. You think he's parodying religious zealots, right? I mean, isn't that what he's doing
know.
Here?
I printed, you know, on YouTube, most of the time you just watch the video, but underneath there are people who make comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I printed out underneath this video for that guy. The first one is effing brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. These lyrics were perfectly written. That video was made beautifully and the acting spectacular. Perfect dark satire. This video needed to be made. And then the next person says, would someone bother to make a song, a music video, and a website to get hated by so many people just for a joke? And then somebody else wrote, man, it's a joke. And then somebody else wrote, I can't believe how many people fail to see this is a joke. And then, no, it's not a joke. It's a joke. No, it's not a joke.
It's hard to say.
You know what's interesting is because it's unfortunate that he chooses those words, God hates fags, for his song, because A, it's offensive, but B, it will confuse people because there's that other widely known group, that minister in Iowa or whatever, the guy who pickets the soldiers' funerals and everything like that. That's his group, is God Hates Fags, but they're unaffiliated as far as we can tell, right?
As far as we can tell, yeah. I mean, this guy supposedly is the head of the ministry. I can't believe it's real after hearing him talk. There are other videos on there where he talks, where he sets things up.
Uh-huh. I'm Donnie Davies.
That's how he always begins.
Hi. Out of breath.
Wow. What an amazing time here at Love God's Way Ministries. Hey, guys, we're excited. Because over the next week or so, we're going to release the CHOPS program, which is going to help everybody out. CHOPS is changing homosexuals into ordinary people.
Yes, okay, good. Excellent. Excellent.
I don't know. It almost sounds like he's doing a parody of a minister.
That's what I think. Now, people make fun of him, A, for gay bashing, which they should, because that's what he's doing. B, he's a short, fat dude that's got
pretty effeminate.
A pink shirt and way, way, way gay. So people make fun of him for that as well.
He has the one thing a straight guy can't pull off. He has the perfectly coiffed thin mustache.
Yeah. Like,
that's right. Now, here's another clip about him and his ministry.
Hi, I'm Donnie Davies. I want to talk to you about a few things, to wit. Some things that disturb me.
Okay.
And some things that elate me. Like the overwhelming response we've had about our The Bible Says video.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk to you about some things that really disturb me.
Oh, no.
It disturbs me that people think that I'm a hoax, that I'm a fake. I have a question for you. If you have been lambasted with so much hate.
Now, this is why he won't do an interview with us or any other media, because if you've been lambasted with so much hate, you wouldn't do it either. But listen to how he says.
Over the last few days, would you just throw yourself out there to the media? Have them try to malign your words, try to mix up the message that you're trying to say, try to turn it into something that's not good? Well, I'm not ready for that.
I'm sorry, we're going to turn the words of his song into something that's not good?
Wait, we're going to find the negative in a song called God Hates Fags?
How would anyone do that? That's as bad as it gets. There's no way to turn those words worse.
And I got to say, people that are actually doing stuff like this that are out there, they want the media attention.
Yes.
They welcome it. Even if it's hatred, they want to get
their
word out.
That's why I think it might be a fake.
It might be.
I think it is.
I'm leaning towards fake.
I haven't seen the video the way you described it, though. But listening to him, it sounds like it's a gag.
But wait, listen to this part about him being fat.
I also want to say I am tired of the comments, and I implore all of my friends to defend me and defend people who are overweight. It is getting absolutely out of hand, the comments that I am receiving about that. I want you to know I have lost 120 pounds. I'm proud of that. I can dunk a basketball.
Okay, not in a million years. This little fat dude has never touched the bottom of the net. He can't dunk a basketball. That's what makes me think it's got to be fake.
He just found his penis.
Has
he
to
lost
be
150
fake.
Pounds. It's like, oh my God, there you are.
Well, on his site, and we found this funny as well, because I think it's fake. If I had to guess, I would go with fake. There's no way anyone is this stupid. But he's got bands to watch out for, bands that make you gay. So you could be heterosexual. And if you listen to these bands, gay.
Oh, he's not suggesting
yes,
that.
Yes, he is. Eagles of Death Metal is one of them.
What?
Interpol. Of course, he lists Erasure. Marilyn Manson in parentheses afterwards, dark gay. I don't know, is that worse? Dark gay?
Are you sure he's not saying that he thinks these bands are have gay members in them? He's saying you'll become gay from listening to them?
Bands to watch out for, yes. You will be turned gay by these bands.
I didn't even realize that at all.
The Strokes?
I got to be honest.
Metallica?
The Strokes, just because of their name?
Metallica is one of them.
That's absurd.
And then in see, here's why I think it has to be a joke. Because after Morrissey's name, he puts in parentheses, questionable Morrissey.
Huh. Yeah, and Morrissey obviously has a huge gay following.
David Bowie, Richard Cheese.
Well,
Freddie Mars.
Clearly.
Jay-Z, Depeche Mode.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. After George Michael, he puts in parentheses, Texan.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know, but he's got a long list of bands that make you gay. And we thought we would, in the spirit of how this is clearly false, has to be. Nobody's that stupid. Yeah. Are they?
No. God, I hope
not. Would take some phone calls from people who have suggestions for bands that make you gay. Because we'd like to add to this list. Just to make sure everybody's perfectly safe. And they don't get turned into a direction they don't want to be going.
Well, you don't want to be driving down the road listening to K-Rock and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Arcade Fire comes on and you're like, oh my God, I love men. It'd be terrible if that happened.
So we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next.
All right. Tell people again who we're talking about here, your YouTube friend that you are so deeply in love with.
Well, his name is Donnie Davies, and he's the dumbest man alive. Or he's brilliant, one or the other. I can't figure out if it's fake. If it's a fake, it's funny. If he's being serious, then he's the dumbest man
alive. It's tragic.
Yeah, it's just stupid. But God Hates Fags is the name of the song that he has. He also has put out a list of bands that make you gay, one of which is Erasure. I guess that's not a surprise.
Of course, they already have a huge gay following. They're a gay band. But he's saying that even if you're not gay, right, put on an Erasure album or accidentally come across one of them on the radio, boom, instantly you become a homo.
Exactly. That's okay. The kind of band that he's saying. Same with Metallica.
Yeah, gay. I don't get that either.
I don't get most of the people on here.
I mean, I think Metallica probably has gay fans in that they're enormously popular band. They have millions and millions of fans, so they have fans of all kinds, I would imagine.
The Killers?
The Killers, really.
Nirvana? Eminem? Eminem, who's almost a gay basher, by the way. Makes you gay. Madonna? Barry Manilow? Oh, that's clear. There's no question about that.
Well, I'm offended.
Ted Nugent, in parentheses, it says loincloth. That's his explanation. Let's go to Annie in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Annie.
Hi, it's actually Annie.
Annie, sorry.
It's okay. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning,
everybody.
Bands that turn you gay?
So, okay, how about Boy George? Where the hell is he on the list?
Boy George is on the list with an asterisk afterwards. I don't know what it's for, but it is a special listing.
Extra gay.
Yeah, because he's way extra gay. So that's a good guess. Thank you, Annie, for calling. We appreciate it. Let's see. Arcade Fire, Bright Eyes, Audio Slave on the list. Not sure why.
Doesn't make any sense.
Let's go to Angel in Fullerton. Good morning, Angel.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What bands?
So we're talking about the bands that allegedly will turn someone gay.
Yes.
All right. This is all in fun. This is coming from someone who...
Of course.
Most of my best friends are gay.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, Queen.
Queen, sure.
And you've got to say Madonna. Madonna was on that list. I heard you guys saying, and when I was on hold, I was thinking about that. I mean, my best friend Anthony. I love you, Anthony, in Vegas. He's obsessed with Madonna. That's total gayness right there.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, there's no question.
But Madonna didn't turn him gay. He was already gay when he started listening.
How do you know?
Baby, he was already gay.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing about this guy. Is it a joke?
We don't know, to tell you the truth.
It's hard for us to imagine anybody is this stupid, but every once in a while somebody will come along like this and you'll go, wow, that's lower than I thought anyone could get.
Yeah.
There has been some talk on the internet that he's an actor, a guy from the Dallas area. It's just a character who created to get, you know, some notoriety on the internet. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like people are picking it up and running with it. I think it's more fun to think this guy's for real.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess so. If he's being, I don't know. It's ridiculous. Matt in Long Beach. Hi, you have one that I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah, I was a young boy at Warped Tour a few years ago, and I was in the mosh pit. And I realized that this band that was playing definitely turned me gay.
Mm-hmm.
Pennywise.
Pennywise, sure.
Blame it all on Pennywise.
Sure, it's all their fault. Yeah. I hear you. Thank you, Matt. Well, when you're in the pit, you know, you're with all the guys. It gets hot and sweaty. You
people
know,
are jumping around, bumping into you.
How about this? Destination, a little up the road from the back. Sure, yeah.
Back. doesn't say I don't get that, but all right, if you say so.
Here's one that he says, in parentheses, is punk gay. That's the way to go. No effects. let's see. We have the lines are just jammed with people. Let's go to Lacey, who's calling from Long Beach. Good morning, Lacey.
Good morning.
Bands that will turn you gay.
It's a guy, really. It's not a band. Mm-hmm. And I saw it on YouTube, and I swear you will be gay.
Oh, this is the gayest guy ever. This really is the gayest guy ever.
Yeah, his name's Samwell.
Samwell.
And the name of the video is What What in the Butt.
Here's a little bit of that for those of you that haven't seen it.
I said what in the butt. I said what in the butt. I said what in the butt. I said what in the butt.
That's another one of those. That's another one of those where you think there's no way this guy is serious.
You have to check him out on YouTube.
Can't possibly be the case.
That's maybe the best song I've ever heard.
It is. It's and that guy is. You actually do become 50% gay every time you watch it. So,
dear Kevin and Bean, there's no faster gay you up band than Coldplay, says this email from Terrell. Your junk shrinks like you're in the pool when their music is on.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but all right. Elton John, really gay, it says after his name.
Oh, yeah.
Britney Spears, in parentheses, kissed Madonna.
Oh, no love Lord. For Fallout Boy? No love for Dance Dance, by the way? Where's that on the list?
Don't see that, no.
Dance.
I don't see that one, no, but this one certainly. Just because he knows she kissed Madonna. So that's what he's going with there. And Cannibal Corpse, by the way, Mike. Cannibal Corpse also will turn you gay. It's on his list. I'm not kidding. Troy in Huntington Beach. Good morning. Oh, Troy was going to say anything Bean listens to.
Oh,
how dare you.
And I think that's probably a pretty good rule of thumb.
I'm not even listening to Troy because I'm putting the High School Musical CD back in.
If Bean is listening to it, you need to not. That's a good rule of thumb.
Alrighty, so we're putting gay bands behind us for a second here and turning our attention to something else that has been a little bit of a controversy this week in the news, and that is former Vice President Al Gore, who some consider to be the leader of the environmental movement in the world in the fight against global warming. His documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, just won an Oscar a couple of days ago.
Yep.
He's been busted, apparently. If you believe the Tennessee Center for Policy Research, apparently they did some research and found out that Al Gore does nothing but use electricity. Al Gore has just got everything in his house running all the time, according to these figures, looks like.
They went to utility records, and they showed that he paid an average monthly electric bill of $1,200 each month.
I don't even know how you would run up that much of a bill.
He has a 10,000-square-foot home, first of all.
But there's not a lot of people living there.
Some of it is at the big house. Some of it, I heard, is that he works from home and his wife works from home. They're running businesses out of it, which I think would contribute probably to a little bit more than just household. But still seems like an awful lot of power, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
And by the way, this is his Nashville house. He also has a house in Carthage, Tennessee. And, of course, you know, his place in the Washington, D.C. area from all those years he was a senator. So he's got three houses. I don't know what it all totals up to, but it seems like he may be using more than his share, and certainly more than he's telling the rest of us to use when you go see his goddamn slideshow. So we thought, let's just get to the bottom of it since we have a relationship with Mr. Gore and go right to the man himself. Al, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hello.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
How are you, Al?
I'm feeling good.
Well, I'm sure you are.
I keep it green.
Yeah,
my whole sounds life like it's green.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's green in front of you.
Sticky green right now.
Al, you had such a great week early in the week with the Oscars, and you had to be just on top of the world, and everybody in Hollywood was so glad to see you, and you got so much love. And then, like, within a couple of days, out comes this study, and now all of a sudden you look like a big fat hypocrite.
Well, a lot of people, when they don't like the message, the kind of message I've been telling,
right?
They attack the messenger.
Well, this group, the Tennessee Center for Policy Research, which sounds effing shaky to me to begin with, they went to the utility companies and they found out that you spend $1,200 a month on electricity.
That's crazy. Hold on. Tipper, I'm on the phone.
Is she vacuuming?
She's vacuuming. Tipper.
Okay, well, I mean, you got to vacuum at some point. I understand
know you
that.
Do.
What's that? Is that... What?
Making a smoothie.
Sure.
All right. Sorry. You were saying?
According to the bills we...
What is that, Al?
Mixing paint.
He's got a paint mixer.
He's got electrical.
Who has a paint mixer in their house?
We're going to do a little painting later.
The Associated Press reviewed some electrical bills. Now what?
Jackhammer?
Inside the house?
Renovating the living room.
Wow. It says you used 191,000 kilowatt hours in 2006. And I don't know how that compares to what I use, but it seems like a whole lot, Al.
That's crazy. No one uses that much.
What's that?
I'm drying my hair. I just got out of the
shower. Hair. Okay. Yeah.
They do use a lot of electricity.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, you were saying?
What? Al?
Yeah, we're just drilling the kids' teeth. Gotta keep their teeth. Well, get something over the Morse code.
Who has Morse code?
Why Morse code?
Who's sending you a message with Morse code?
Our business is. Hold on a second.
Is that a video game?
We're playing a little pinball.
Pinball machine in the house. Gotta plug that in.
Okay, wait a minute.
Is that a bugle?
Got an electric racetrack going around the house.
Al, do you ever just turn some of this stuff off?
Oh, the time. Look at the time. I don't know where the time went with our electric cuckoo clock.
What is that?
That's our electric policeman.
What does that mean?
What was that? We have an electric xylophone.
Do you turn any of this stuff off ever?
It's a player xylophone, like a player piano that plays by itself.
Okay, is it a vacuum again?
No. What is that?
It's our electric helicopter. We keep hovering over the house in case we need to go anywhere.
You keep it hovering?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's electric. Well. No carbon emission.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I think at some point you're wasting electricity if you don't turn some of this stuff off, Al. That's all we're saying is the point.
I'm sorry. I have an electric helicopter. I can't hear you.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
That's a pretty sound at the end of that, isn't it?
5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
I like that.
That's the most beautiful one. That's how they got nominated for the Album of the Year at the Grammys.
I like Grammys.
Hey, what about
Grammys,
if you love... What about if you love the TV show The Office and you'd like to be there at the Museum of Television and Radio to meet the cast and have a chance to interview them and the creators of the show? What about that? We have those tickets, right?
We do.
I guess you'll have to try to match the showdown at the OK Corral.
No.
Seriously.
We're really going with that name. I thought that was vetoed.
No, that's it. 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to spend a night with the cast of that show.
Oh!
Feel free. Give us a call. And
spend a night with them?
We'll let you play the game when we get back. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Who are the richest Hollywood stars under the age of 21? Well, People.com has released the top three. We know that Lindsay Lohan, despite spending millions of dollars on drugs and alcohol, still came away with earnings of $6 million for her roles in films like Bobby and A Prairie Home Companion last year. That puts her in the top three, which I find hard to believe. Just $6 million puts her in the top three.
Yeah.
2006 was a good year for Daniel Radcliffe, who played, of course, Harry Potter in the Harry Potter movies.
Sure.
And you can currently see him naked in London as in Equus.
Oh.
He pulled down $13 million in 2006, making him number two. But number one by far from their sales of clothing and accessories with their names all over it, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen earned an estimated $40 million last year.
Wow. Just last year
alone, $40
million. $40 million.
And they do nothing. I mean, they have jobs,
they
right?
They pose for pictures looking surly. As far as I can tell, that's what they do for
that's
a living.
Their living, yeah.
They don't eat, and they look surly.
They made movies when they were younger.
And they wear giant sunglasses. That's all I can tell. That's as far as I can figure out.
You know, I think Dr. Drew killed their career. They were really big stars until he did that New York Minute movie with them. Remember?
Yeah, yeah,
that was
it.
That was the last film, I think.
He played their father in a movie.
Right. I'd like my career to be killed.
Dr. Drew has a better film career than I do.
He does, yeah.
His stuff left in the film.
Yes.
My stuff axed.
Correct.
Drew never acted a day in his life.
That's right.
Me, went to school for it, did theater, long, long, struggling career as an actor.
Are you just coming to grips with this right now?
Every once in a while, it just hits me in the face like a bag full of nickels. It just catches me by surprise and stuns me. Dr. Drew
also
had a starring role in a motion picture.
Sure.
He also had a three-way with him, if I recall correctly, from what I heard.
Who touched you? Who touched you when you were young?
On the set rumor.
Turns out it was Dr. Drew. It's the one answer he knew. Who touched you kids when you were young? It was you, Drew. Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. It was me.
Anna Nicole Smith's body.
Want to bury my body?
I know.
Will be buried in the Bahamas, according to a panel of three judges in Florida who yesterday refused to overturn the lower court decision that Anna's body should indeed be buried next to her son in the Bahamas, despite the protestation of her mother, who said she should be buried in a Maxwell House can in the back of her house. I think
she said that. That's what she wanted.
Yeah. Apparently, the additional decision yesterday made in Florida was that they will not pass any sort of decision on who Anna's baby daddy is regarding Daniel Lim, because it's not their jurisdiction. They claim they're going to toss the case back to California, where Larry Burkhead, who claims to be the father, originally filed the paternity suit. So,
it seems like a quick DNA test would end that one for all.
Sure does.
But
interesting list. The top 10 couples who have remained friends after breaking up, appearing in InTouch magazine this week. Which I think is just madness.
Well, we'll see if we believe them.
Staying friends with someone after you break up with them, it's nuts. If I liked you that much and I wanted to hang out with you, I would have kept dating you. That's why I always look at things.
Sometimes they have kids.
Sometimes they do. Or sometimes they're Tom Cruise and Penelope Cruz, who don't have kids, but do have the same last name.
So that's true. Why they share friends. That.
They were number 10 on the list. Wilmer Valderrama, of course, played the popular Canada Spencer Pez on that 70s show. He and Mandy Moore are still pals.
It's Fez, I think.
I think they still... Once in a while.
Yeah.
I think. That's my guess. Dave Navarro and Carmen Electra. Best of buddies since they're split up.
Look at her. You know?
Yeah.
It seemed very civil, even going through the divorce.
Well, they share the same eyeliner. I think that helps.
That's true.
Yeah. Use the same makeup kit. Madonna and Carlos Leon apparently are still friends because they do share the child, Lourdes, Lola, together. Luke Wilson and Drew Barrymore apparently still friends, even though they're no longer dating.
That's tight.
Number 5, Jude Law and Sadie Frost. Still pals.
I guess it must be because of kids, because that was pretty awful for a while.
Matthew McConaughey and Sandra Bullock apparently are still buddy buddies, even though they've both gone on to other celebrity bunkmates. They're fourth on the list. Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller, her first husband. They're very close still to this day. Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson. Once again, the kids keep them together, but they also seem to be very chummy. And I think they also, what are you doing tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nothing, me neither. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dude, I won't be surprised if they remarry. I really won't.
They do seem like one of those couples who just can't live without each other, and they just keep crossing paths.
And can't live with both.
And Bruce Willis and Demi Moore, the number one example in Hollywood of couples who have remained friends, and they truly have. They go on vacation together. Yeah. He hangs out with her new husband, Ashton Kutcher. They're all pals.
They seem like they're better friends than they've ever been before.
Very creepy.
Something wrong there.
To those of us who are human. Interesting news regarding the Star Trek franchise. Apparently, J.J. Abrams. It's been talked about for some time that he would take over the feature films for Star Trek, and he has officially announced that, yes, he is beaming up for duty, as they say. The film, which is tentatively titled Star Trek 11.
11?
Will follow the formula of recent franchise reinventions with Casino Royale and Batman Begins. They're going back to the origin tale of the main characters. This film, apparently, will travel back to the days of the Starfleet Academy, where James T. Kirk and his best Vulcan buddy, Spock, hung out together, and they did wacky pranks, and they, stole the other school's mascot, and they TP'd one of their teachers' houses and stuff.
Short team beds at the academy.
They join a frat together, and they do beer bongs. It's going to be awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they did it that way?
It would be.
Spock was a wild man in college.
Oh, could not stop banging.
Well, that's going to be quite a coveted role, is to be the guy who gets to play James T. Kirk as a young man, huh?
It's just
awful.
A recipe for failure.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, come on. Shatner's just larger than life. Who can play Kirk other than Shatner? There's no way.
Yeah, but everyone will want to do it, though. I mean, a lot of attention in starting a Star Trek movie.
A lot of Trekkers are angry, by the way, because the pervasive legend is that Kirk and Spock met on the Enterprise when they started working together. They did not attend Starfleet Academy together.
Oh, you don't want to cross angry Trekkers.
So you will. There's going to be some discord amongst the Trekkers to this story.
Ruff, I'm excited about the movie. I'll look forward to it. Next year, end of next year, you said?
2008, apparently they're shooting for, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of J.J. Abrams, and we haven't mentioned him, we had spoken so much about Lost over the first three seasons.
How was it last night? I wouldn't know, because I am clean. I am free.
You really
clean.
Off?
I am sober. I am Lost sober. I'm 2 weeks sober now. I've got my chip. I got my Lost chip today. I did not watch last night's episode.
Kevin, did you see it?
I did.
I thought it was very entertaining.
I did too.
It did nothing to advance the story. I mean, this one, literally not one thing was advanced in the story. Not one. No questions answered, no advancement of the story. But it was a very entertaining episode about people you care about, because it was another Hurley backstory. And you really...
Good, more backstories.
But they actually had the main cast was there. You know?
Wow. Yeah, it was very, very different. Saeed and Locke and, you know, all of our pals were back on the show, which was very refreshing. It was an entertaining hour of television. I'm sorry you missed it.
Was there any front story? Anything happened on the island that we might want to advance the plot a little bit?
No, but we found out who his father was. Fatty's father is Cheech.
Cheech. Oh, Perrin. Really? Yes. Well, that makes sense.
Cheech.
That's why he's so fat. He smokes a lot of dope with his father. Down 14%. Left him as by the way, the ratings for Lost down 14% this season from last year.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one jumping off, apparently.
I still like it. That was a good one last night.
Apparently, the producers of Lost are talking to ABC about picking a finale date already
for the
series. So they can start working towards wrapping things up at a more rapid pace.
If this tells you anything, Hurley was driving around on the island in a van.
Okay.
For like 10 minutes.
If you lost.
For like 10 minutes.
So glad I lost. I would have been throwing things at the screen.
And
this is Gilligan's Island. He has a coconut car now.
They found a car and got it running, Ralph.
Stop it. They did not.
Yes, they did.
They didn't find a car on the island and get
it
running.
They did, and it ran, and he drove it.
Yeah. Oh. But, Kevin, be fair, though. That was only about 40 minutes of the episode, was them trying to get the car running, right?
Did they make a radio out of a coconut?
They found beer.
Did they find a robot that they tried to get to swim off the island to Hawaii
rescued?
With,
no. It was weird because the Harlem Globetrotters showed up at one point on the island. I was like, strange. That can't be right.
Then Marianne made a coconut cream pie.
I enjoyed it very much, but it sounds ridiculous.
Glad you did. Yeah. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Thicke. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Kevin is Thicke. I'm sorry. This is just Alan Thicke. He played Jason Seaver on Growing Pains. He's 60 years old today. His kid apparently now has a massive music career.
Robin. Yeah.
Robin Thicke. Ron Howard. Here's a guy who lived a charmed life. Kid actor, huge success, stayed normal and sane, went on to be a teenage actor in American Graffiti and Happy Days, then became a major player in Hollywood as a director.
Still seems normal.
Still seems like a good down-to-earth guy. And he's partners with the hairdo there with Imagine Entertainment.
Yeah. The hairdo.
Oh, you ever see his hair? Come on.
I don't think I have Brian Grazer's hair.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think I have.
Oh, my God.
Stupid. He needs to stop it.
It's wind tunnel hair.
It's all spiky. Ooh, look how cool and hip I am. You're 50. Comb your hair. Catherine Bach, who the original Daisy Duke on The Dukes of Hazzard. She is 53 years old today. George Eads, who plays Nick Stokes over there on CSI. He's 40. Jensen Ackles. Don't want to screw up that name. Yep. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural's 29 years old today. And MPG, Mark Paul Gosselaar, my pal over from NYPD Blue, and who played Zach Morris, of course, in Saved by the Bell many, many years ago. He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So tomorrow night, Museum of Television Radio in Beverly Hills, which is a wonderful place, by the way, because they do stuff with television and with radio. That's why they call it the Museum of Television. Yeah, it's awesome. And they do this series every year for a couple of weeks where they bring in folks behind and in front of the camera for your favorite television shows. And what an incredible lineup. Ralph's been giving away tickets for the last week or so. What an amazing lineup they had this year. And tomorrow night, they're doing an evening with the cast and crew and creators of The Office. How much fun would that be?
That sounds great. Yeah, they sit up in front. You can ask them questions. Usually they screen an episode for you that maybe you haven't seen yet or whatever.
Yeah.
And it looks like a good time. If you're an Office fan and you would like to win these tickets, 1-800-520-1067 for the showdown at the OK Corral.
Well, howdy, partner. Are you a big fan of Steve Carell? Would you like to spend an evening with the good folks from The Office? Well, if you're quick on the draw, and you reckon you know Steve Carell's work.
That's what she said.
You just might come out alive.
That's what she said.
From the showdown at the OK Corral.
And let's say good morning to our engineer, Julian.
No.
The Japanese cowboy. Oh, I'm sorry. Who's this?
This is Sheriff Announcer Man.
Sheriff Announcer Man.
Howdy, partners.
Excellent.
Sheriff, are you the same guy who does those commercials that I hear all the time that goes, beef, it's what for dinner? Is that you?
I am Sam Elliott, yes.
You're the guy. Okay, that's fine. Now, what's the Western...
The dude abides.
Right. What's the Western theme here? Because we're talking about The Office, which is a workplace comedy set in the paper factory, right?
Yes.
What's the tie-in here?
Well, today we'll be examining the work of our good partner, Steve Carell.
Okay.
And the OK Corral was the only thing we could come up with.
The only tie-in, right.
I see. I think
so there's no Western theme at all. Just Steve Carell
appearances.
Because his name is Carell and it's close to
television.
Carell.
Yeah.
I see.
He likes beef.
All right.
It's what's for dinner.
Do you reckon we were way out of ideas when we came up with this?
Yeah, I reckon you hit hot. You've hit the bottom.
Hot bottom?
Hot bottom. You should be branded with a hot poker. Poker, so, sure. Hardly even know her. I can go on all day if you like.
I'm sure you
could. That's okay. Listen, Sheriff, we're going to go to some callers here, and what is it you're going to want them to do in order to win the tickets for the museum event tomorrow night?
Well, we're going to get these cowgirls and cowboys and ask them to recognize a clip from Steve Carell and the many films and television appearances he's made.
Okay. So this
does
that
sound good?
This is not The Office. This is other projects that he has been in.
These are movies. These are movies.
All movies
he's appeared in.
Okay.
The motion pictures.
I think
the
I got it.
Nickelodeon.
We got
just
it.
For nickels. See a flickering image on a screen.
All right. Hold
time.
On a second. Emily in Chino Hills, welcome to the showdown at the OK Garage. Good morning to you.
Okay, you announcer. That's fine.
Oh, sorry.
I'll and just sit here.
Don't.
And
Sheriff.
I'll
Sheriff
do
announcer
some
man.
Whittling by the campfire. Make some beans and coffee.
Who's our first contestant? Sheriff.
How about Miss Emily from Chino Hills?
Good call. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for the showdown?
Emily's
the OK
already
Grill?
Fed up with our stuff. Good morning.
I don't blame her.
All right, you have to tell us what Steve Carell project this is. You ready?
Okay.
There you go.
The White House Reception Committee greeted the prime rib roast minister, and I do the cha-cha like a sissy girl. I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. In other news, my apologies.
Okay. M?
Was that Anchorman? No.
No. You answered it yourself,
I like
Emily.
She corrects herself.
No, I'm wrong.
I'm going to say Anchorman, and I'm going to buzz myself.
No.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. That was Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty is what we were looking for.
Okay.
Sorry, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. How many, Sheriff, how many tickets do we have for the museum event?
We got two pairs of tickets, partner.
All right. Who's next trying for him then?
Jason from Simi Valley. Thanks. I ran some cattle through Simi Valley once.
Is that right?
A lot of engines there.
Jason, good morning.
Get your scalp.
Okay.
Them engines.
All right. Showdown.
Can't handle their fire water.
That's what we're here.
Stand by.
Hold on, Sheriff.
All right.
Jason, right, the showdown at the OK Corral. Listen up. Tell us what movie this is featuring Steve Carell.
I fell in love with someone who didn't love me back.
Who?
One of my grad students. I was very much in love with him.
Him? You fell in love with the boy?
Yes, I did. Very much so.
All right. Jason.
What do you think there, Jason?
Little Miss Sunshine, the best movie of last year.
Nicely done.
Yay.
Congratulations, Jason.
Nicely done. You hold on, okay?
Thanks.
So he gets to meet Steve Carell tomorrow night. That's pretty cool. Who's next, Sheriff?
Next up, we got Rob from Pasadena.
Rob, good morning.
Good morning. What
is in Spanish, Pasadena means Pasadena.
Does it? I didn't know that. How about
Dina being the word for salt.
Right.
What?
And you put that on your beef, do you?
Yeah, it's what for dinner.
All right, Rob, listen up. This is going to be a Steve Carell movie. You just need to tell us the title and you've won the tickets. Here we go.
My girlfriend Jill found your speed dating card.
Oh, yeah, right.
So you actually wrote that one girl looked like she was hurting for a squirtin'?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you wrote ho for show.
Yeah, I remember that girl. She was a hoe. For show.
Name that movie.
What do you think there, Rob? Well said.
Congratulations, Rob. You win as well.
Alrighty, thanks.
Nicely done. Thank you for playing.
I think we are out of tickets.
Yep, I believe that's true. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank God this is over.
It's been a wonderful time.
You just might come out alive.
That's what she said.
From the showdown at the OK Corral.
Time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Now, you're not going to be chanting inappropriately tomorrow night at the Honda Center for Kevin and Bean night at the Anaheim Ducks, are you, Kevin?
Are the Kings playing?
No.
Then no.
So you'll root for the Ducks then, since the Kings aren't playing.
Playing the Sharks. I like to watch hockey. I like good hockey.
Okay, so you'll be rooting for Anaheim then, since your beloved Los Angeles Kings are not in the game. Why not root for Anaheim?
I will enjoy good hockey plays by the players.
So you get tickets to the game and passes to join the Kevin and Bean Morning Show for the pregame party. That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start today? What do you got?
Well, let's begin with Anthony in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, what it do, nephew, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do?
We were talking about bands that made you gay a little bit earlier today.
Yeah, I just got to say, if Donnie was for real, he'd turn sexuals on to bands like Gunther and Harmar Superstar. Get some chomp chomp spit.
And that way it would make him straight?
Yes, sir.
I see. Okay, thanks for the call.
Did he say Gunther? Did he add Gunther to that
list?
He did
say Gunther.
I don't think Gunther's making anybody straight.
Maybe he's maybe just maybe he's gay
wing
enough.
Wing might make
well,
you straight.
That's true. Yeah. Andrea in Placentia, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
I was just reading this article. There's a guy in London, and I guess that he got accosted by a big group of muggers.
Mm-hmm.
He beat the crap out of all of them. He had an ingrown toenail, and he used that same foot to kick one of them in the balls, and he managed to fight off all of them.
One guy against how many?
The article I was reading said it was like four guys. But
and the
like,
dude was 100?
Yes.
He was 100 years old.
He still works, too.
I love that guy.
Wow.
And who were the people that accosted him?
A bunch of muggers. Just
muggers?
Muggers. That were trying to grab him.
Muggles. Did you think she said muggles?
I thought she said mothers.
Oh, mothers.
Yeah, they were trying to grab his money, and he was able to fight them all off.
In spite of the ingrown toenail.
Wow. It's funny that you would put more emphasis on the ingrown toenail than the fact that he was 100.
Oh, yeah, by the way, he was 100.
But he had an ingrown toenail.
And he kicked the dude.
He kicked him with it. That would hurt.
Thank you, Andrea, for the call. All right, let's go to...
Oh, yeah, and he had one leg.
But he had an ingrown toenail on that leg. Let's go to Jacob, who's calling us from Long Beach. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
All right, let's just say last week, my girlfriend and I were over at her house and left a little surprise for the cleaning lady. She ended up giving it to her mom, and it wasn't a good story when we got back to the house later that evening.
You left a little surprise for the cleaning lady.
Let's play Guess the Surprise.
What was
it?
Is it a stain on the wall? What was that, Psycho Mike?
Cleveland Steamer.
I don't think so.
It was something wrapped in a sock.
Wrapped in a sock?
It was a condom.
There you go.
Who wraps a condom in a sock?
Hey, we didn't have any tissue laying around, you know.
But just pick it up. It's not sulfuric acid. Just take it and flush in the toilet.
Did you leave
God,
it on,
I hate people.
Did you leave it on purpose, or did you just forget?
You know, afterwards you just forget, just lay it there, and
But you had time to remember to wrap it in a sock. Hell!
So, what happens? So the cleaning lady turns it over to your girlfriend's parents, and then what's their reaction? They're thrilled with you, right, Jacob?
Well, we come home, and they're sitting there on the couch with the sock and the package inside, and it wasn't too pleasant.
Okay, all right, good story. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Wow. Your Honor, Exhibit A, the sock in question inside of it.
All right, let's
Coney go. Coney Island Whitefish.
Let's go to Charlie in Downey. Good morning, Charlie.
Yeah, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Okay, my story is that I caught my neighbors having sex in a hammock.
You caught your neighbors having sex in a hammock?
Yeah, okay. In their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
How did you catch them? Did you happen to be glancing over the fence?
No, it's because I live right next door, so I was in, like, my house is a two-story house.
Mm-hmm.
My room is upstairs, so...
Charlie, hang on for one second, Charlie. I apologize. Hang on. Do we have anyone answering the phones out there? I mean, is
no,
there a screener?
Through. He caught his neighbor having sex in a hammock.
He saw his neighbor having sex. How did he catch him?
Well, let's
he
go back.
Saw them, right?
Let's go back for more, shall we?
Let's. Why?
Charlie?
Okay,
so you saw them from your room?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And, well, they have really hot, like, daughters.
Right.
So
right.
I heard them laughing, so I thought it was a girl. So I went over to look.
I got gotcha.
And they were in the hammock.
Right.
Okay.
And they were going at it.
Right. Right. Were they having sex then?
In the hammock?
Because
they were your neighbors?
Because they fell.
Exciting story.
They fell out of the hammock.
They fell. All right, thanks for the call.
He manages to take a story that involves people having sex and make it boring. I don't know how he did it.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Did they wrap their condom in a sock
at any time
wow.
during that?
We got to get some phone screening. Hey, what about Robert? I don't even understand his complaint. What's that about? What's Robert talking about? Because Mike's going to be pissed when he hears this call.
Robert, Culver City, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Robert.
So I got a problem with TV, specifically some of my favorite shows on FX, and that is Man-Ass.
Man-Ass.
Man-Ass. You know how you get the warning at the beginning that it's like, you know, this contains nudity?
Right.
Usually I would get excited about it.
Right, that's a good sign because you're going to see some nudity.
It's a great sign.
Right.
But it's been all about Man-Ass. I mean, this season of Nip Tuck.
What shows are you watching? Oh,
you
Nip
know,
Tuck?
Robert, you're not the only one watching TV, and I have to tell you, I'm thrilled.
Lisa likes the Man-Ass.
Yep.
Thumbs up on the man ass.
Lisa and Mike, just the two of them.
That's it. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nip Tuck has always been fairly generous with the man nudity.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Because the man is beautiful. It's usually...
No.
Yeah.
Not for the most part.
Jordan McMahon's pretty hot.
Yeah, it's usually
I'm no
him.
Mo, but he's pretty good.
You like
this
man
ass? Yeah, but you don't need to see his ass ever, right, Ralph?
It doesn't scare me off. I'm not rattled by man ass.
What
I see
about
an ass.
Rosie O'Donnell's name?
Well, now that's repulsive, but it had nothing to do with his ass. Trust
me, man ass as well.
So you would rather see Julian McMahon's ass than Rosie O'Donnell's ass?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Of course,
you'd rather see a buff dude than a fat chick.
Yes. Every day and twice on Sunday.
Well, Rosie, for God's sakes.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell doesn't even count as a chick, man.
No, she's nowhere near a chick. You're right.
Some sort of monolith.
Yeah,
she's a gargoyle.
Let's go to Rudy in Altaloma. Good morning, Rudy.
What did you do, baby boo? What did you do, 17?
Almost. You almost got it out, there, man. Rudy. You were close.
He was nowhere near close, people.
What's going on?
Anyways, last night, watching America's Next Top Model, and Ralph, you're going to love this. Tyra was beefy.
Yeah. Tyra's fat? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's still eating?
Pretty chunky.
Beefy. Her arms are beefy. Her legs are beefy. And not only that, she put two big girls through. To the next round.
She's a fan of the beefy now.
Sure, so she can cut them later on in the show. That's
exactly.
How it works.
Yeah, she always makes a big production on America's Next Top Model about how the plus size girls have a chance, and they never even make it to the top five. They're just there for show.
It's token fat chicks.
Yeah, first she says, hey, that's okay, and then later she says, you're gone.
And when they vote them off, Tyra eats them.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow, I didn't
By the way,
that.
Thank you for the call, Rudy. I saw just a couple of minutes of America's Next Top Model because I haven't watched that since the second season. But there was a boot camp for the girls, the new girls. This was episode one, right? And Tyra is the drill sergeant, and she was trying to work in all of the movie stuff.
Oh.
You know, she was trying to do lines from Top Gun and stuff.
She must have been yelling the whole time.
She was. She was standing there in the camouflage pants, Ralph, and at one point she said, I love the smell of hair and makeup in the morning.
Oh, Lord.
It was kind of sad, I got to be honest. I want to thank all of our guests of the Kevin and Bean Show today, including writer Ian Urbina from the New York Times Magazine. If you're interested in the scam that is these door-to-door magazine salesmen, check out the New York Times Magazine section from this past weekend. And also we want to thank the representative of the 1736 Family Crisis Center for joining us first thing this morning. That's the charity that is benefited by the Vagina Monologues performance that Lisa and our own Kat Corbett and other actresses are going to be doing in Hermosa Beach this weekend. So what's the deal, Lisa? Friday night, it's just pay whatever you want and show
Friday
up
night
and see the show?
Pay whatever you want. Saturday night and Sunday night, we still have tickets available, so you can go on our K-Rock website, the Kevin and Bean page, and there's a link to the website for tickets.
I'm so going Friday and giving them a nickel. Just 5 cents.
Here you go. Here you go.
Oh, pay whatever you can, right? That's all I have. I have a nickel. I'm going to sit down and enjoy the show now. Then I'm going back and say, I want my money back
cheap
at the end of the
bastard.
Show.
After a nickel.
I am disappointed.
I didn't get 5 cents.
I didn't get a nickel's worth.
Wow.
You want me to play some more of her rehearsal? You get a nickel's worth. Trust me on that. Susan Miller tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. She is an astrologer.
Oh, she's the best.
Coming into
Which
the studio.
Which one is she? What has she
she's
done?
She's the good one.
She's the good one.
We had her in
What
last,
did she...
We had her
she in did the, something that came true? Is that what?
Towards the end of last year.
She was
She
good.
Read my chart and said, first of all, I recently... She named a date and said, you just came into some money on some certain date. And that was a date I had gotten a big residual check from Two for the Money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From all the cable airings that went on. And then she said, and I also see a new job or something in your future. And I had just landed a new TV gig.
So we think she's on the up and up?
It was just spooky how she was dead on about everything she said. There wasn't one bogusness moment.
But she's not the one that called us out on Lester.
No,
that was the other one.
She was good, too.
She was the Super Bowl psychic.
Lester, the weatherman.
She was good, too. I'm starting to believe her. Huh?
All right, so that's tomorrow morning. Also, John Singleton on tomorrow. He's the producer of Black Snake Moan.
Black Snake Moan, as Joan Rivers would say.
That's correct, yes. We have the story of the unlawful imprisonment of a donkey. That's spectacular. I don't know if you've seen that one yet, but it had to happen in Washington, right, Bean? State of Washington?
No, it was actually
Florida.
in
Germany?
Ireland, I think. I want to say it's Galway. Ireland. Is that Ireland?
Galway is in Ireland, yes.
Yeah, that's where it was.
It's the west coast of Ireland.
Yeah, apparently he took a donkey to a hotel room. I don't know why you have to wine and dine a donkey. It doesn't seem to me like there's that much required, but he did violate the Unlawful Accommodation of Donkey Act of 1837, so we are going to find out more about that tomorrow.
I thought they repealed that.
No.
It's a big movement to get that off the books.
To make them legal?
Yes.
Breakfast with Corn tickets. We have some more tomorrow morning. We have sex with teachers. Another story. This one involves a middle school teacher that had sex with 5 of the kids.
Oh.
At once?
A goer.
At once?
I don't think
so.
Damn.
I think she had a rotation.
Movie Beat tomorrow. It's Friday. And plus, we have more tickets for the Museum of Television and Radio, the Television Festival, and Evening with George Lucas tomorrow.
So, oh, wow.
That should
Will
be fun.
Will Steve Carell be at that one?
Do we know? Stop it.
Absolutely. Cat Corbett. Hang on. Is this a lighting with some plazugs?
This one's going to be tough. I'm
MC Lightning.
Today.
Is this a rare Thursday night lightning appearance?
It is. It's a gooder. It's a gooder tonight.
It's a gooder.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah. Here we go. Is there anything better than Circuit City? Is there anyone cooler than James Worthy? How about the Laker girls in purple and gold? I got some news that you're gonna be told. We're throwing a party at the Circuit City. It's brand new near the LBC. Tonight at 5, I'll be in Signal Hill. Right off the 405, it's where you chill. We got Mo. Get yourself out to Circuit City. James Worthy, the Laker girls in E. 405 in Atlantic. In Signal Hill, y'all, I'll be slamming mad dunks with my main man, James Worthy, tonight at 5. Circuit City Grand
you're
Opening.
You're not even rapping anymore. You're just yelling now.
He did good.
Well, I got to actually get the plug in. That's the problem.
He did good at the beginning, but then he started just talking.
Circuit City.
The problem is, I was on the phone with my alarm company a few minutes ago, and I realized, I got to do my plug. So I ran in here. I'm out of breath.
You didn't have any
like guitar. Yeah, so brand new Circuit City in Signal Hill.
All right, we got it, dude.
Circuit City.
Tonight at 5. With James Worthy and
James
the Laker
Worthy.
Girls.
Really hadn't mentioned that. All right, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Sublime, Incubus, more from the Korn Unplugged CD, The Shin, Smashing Pumpkins, Nine Inch Nails, and more, all right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.